Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Thank you for being with us. And another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it, and that's for sure. So hopefully you are a part of that. And if not, maybe you ought to be. Yeah, be a part of it. Pretty cool. And, you know, God's really speaking, telling us things, telling us what's going on. And we're listening and changing as God gives us the grace. Right? I know I am. God's changing me, that's for sure. And I'm glad to say he's changing me. I'm proud to say that he's changed me. I'm not in this thing where, you know, I got it all together and, oh, no, that doesn't fit me. That couldn't fit me. Well, maybe you're not looking very good because it just might can fit you. So listen really closely and ask God to show you, you know, what you need to shift and change and get in a position where God can fully bless you instead of some half-baked thing, right? You don't want just some half-baked blessing, right? Don't you want the whole thing? Yeah, I think you want the whole thing. That's what I want. I want the whole shebang. I want everything. Yeah, so there you go. All right. Okay, let's see here. I'm going to get it here in a second. All right, I am working on this. Thank you, Jesus. Make sure and get in tonight. Get your communion ready because we are going to be doing that here in just a little bit. All right? Yeah, you can be in our communion part of this show tonight, and God will bless you and help you to learn more about Jesus. Hopefully that's what you're here for, is to learn more about him, right? Okay, let's go over here. All right, give me just a moment here. Hallelujah. We are here and ready to minister to you tonight. If you need help with anything, we'd be glad to try to help you. Information or whatever you need, let us know and we'll see what we can do. Make sure and drink your water. Don't get dehydrated. Sometimes you think it's the devil attacking you and it's not. It's just your brain's drying up. Your body's drying up on you. Yeah, so make sure and get some of that. And all right, hang on just a second. I'm still trying to work on something. Give me just a moment here. Just a moment. Doing really good here. Okay, so get your communion. Like I said earlier, we're going to take communion tonight, and also we'll be praying over offerings. If you need to have, if you need the link to be able to give, just let me know about that. We'll try to get it to you. All right, so try to do that, and you can text that request at 214-505-8719. All right, 214-505-8719, and make your request, and we'd be glad to try to help you with that. All right, computer problem. Give me just a moment, just one more moment here. Okay. All right. I think I got it fixed now. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Good to be here tonight. And hopefully you are doing all right tonight, doing good. If not, we'll be praying for, offerings tonight. And if you have prayer requests, make sure and text them to me tonight. That's the way we'll be praying over your prayer requests is through text. So make sure and please get that in through text. 214-505-8719. Also, again, if you want to the link to be able to give to BGN, we can give that to you also. And that's the same number, 214-505-8719. All right. All right. So let's get rolling here and see what we got going on tonight. Okay. Still having a little bit of problem here. Maybe we just need one more minute here. Okay. I think I got it. Finally got it. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. All right. Communion tonight also. I know I'm repeating. I have a computer issue here. But letting you know that I am here. I think we're ready to go now. All right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We are in the row here. Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's get in the Word here and see what the Lord has for us tonight. We are just believing God for all kinds of things. You know, hopefully you are hearing what the Lord is saying to you and obeying Him. Whatever He tells you to do, that's what you're doing, right? Yeah. So really, really important that you do that because that's where your blessing comes from. You know, God, as far as our salvation and our sins, He's a merciful, kind, loving high priest who, you know, works overtime to help us with our sins and our issues and our problems. But when He gives you something and wants you to do something with it, the business side of God, which we talked about a little bit last night, we're going to start talking about that a little bit more, the business side of God, we're going to find out that that it's a little bit different side of God. It's not a bad side of God. It's just a more... He's just different. God is different as a businessman, and He's very businesslike. And so if you don't understand that, you're going to miss out on thinking that you can just do whatever you want with whatever you want to do with once you're His child, and He gives you something to He wants you to multiply or work with, and you just kind of like don't do anything with it. We think that He's just going to be kind and merciful and just bless us anyway, but He doesn't bless us anyway. We read that last night in the parables about the talents where He gave them something to work with, right, outside their regular income, outside their regular life, and He gave them something to work with extra. It was extra. It came from, you know, like a wasn't even really in the reward realm. It was something given completely outside of what they had worked for, what they had earned as a salary, you know, all that. It's all beside that. You know, he gave them, you know, each a certain amount of money, or talents as it's called. And when two of them doubled theirs, you know, good job. Right. Well, there's the good side of God right there. But watch this. The one who took his, and out of fear, even though he didn't lose it, even though he didn't cheat anybody, even though he didn't do anything wrong, that one thing that he gave him back to him. He said, here it is. Here's the thing you gave me. I'm giving it back to you. But he said, you know, I gave that to you to increase and multiply. I gave it to you according to your ability. And as we talked about last night, you know, on the show. So this is the business side of God, and we're going to start delving into that a little bit more as we can, because if we don't, we're not going to learn that side of God. We're going to think, well, you know, I took my one talent, you know, I took that little bit of money I had, you gave me to work with, and, you know, I hid it because I was afraid I wasn't very good at it. No, God gives us things to multiply and increase for his kingdom's sake, that according to our abilities, right? He didn't give it to you because he didn't think you can handle it. If he didn't think you could handle that one talent, he wouldn't have, that one talent of money, he would have given it to him. Right? He gave it to him because he knew he had the abilities. So what happened? It was God merciful and kind. He went, man, you poor thing. It was only one talent anyway, and you gave it back to me. No big deal. No, that's not what happened at all. And that's the business side of God. And it's talking about the Lord there. Oh, that can't be talking about Jesus. No, it's just talking about the kingdom of God and the Lord God, and the same one who, you know, helped those same servants get jobs and have money and got them, gave them rewards for doing that. You know, he gave them something extra. He gave them something outside themselves and said, here, do something with this. And you would think that to the one who got afraid and scared, that he would just go, oh, man, I'm such a merciful businessman. I'm not going to require that. No, he said, you knew that I was, you know, a tough businessman. you know what? You knew it, and I gave it to you. But Master, but I gave you back. I didn't steal it. I didn't do it. I didn't lose it. Here it is. You got the whole thing back. I got all of it back. But you didn't multiply. You didn't increase it. And what did God do? He took it away from him, gave it to the one who did the most, and he threw him out. That's pretty, friend. This is how the business side of God is. So if you think you can just do whatever you want to in the business realm and in God's business, anything you want, you know, I don't want you to be deceived. God is not mocked. And in some of these areas, we got to realize that. I have to realize that. I used to think that, you know, God knows that my $5 a week of tithe is not going to help the church do anything. So, you know, what good does it do? You know, what good is it going to do? You know, he's not going to hold me accountable for that. But you know what? He did. He started telling me, Randy, I took the one away. And he gave me back what, you know, of course, it was something extra he gave me. It wasn't something he earned or had a reward coming. It had nothing to do with any of that. It was something way beyond that. And he tested him. And guess what? When that test didn't go good, the master was not nice, so to speak, at all. He was very, very officially businesslike. Now, the guy didn't lose his salvation over it. It's not about that. But he got, you know, severely chastised for it and publicly. So everybody knew that the master gave. Oh, he didn't have pity on him? You know, he was so fearful. But yeah, he gave it to him according to his ability. Well, but it sure is mean that he did it like that. But he's teaching. I'm teaching you about God. I'm teaching you about the Father of love, the Father of glory, but the Father of business. Comes to God's business, y'all. It's God, the side of God. There's many different sides to God. And we need to learn about the names of God and take those names, the names of God, and learn them the way they really are instead of the way we have been taught them and you know, put them in there, the names of God, like, well, you know, God, he'll overlook this, he'll overlook that. Well, he'll overlook your sin, right, because that's the shepherd part of him, but the business part where he, you know, gives you something and he tests you with it, and, yeah, not good. And most people don't know that part of God. They really don't. And I didn't know it. God had to teach me. He had to teach me, and I'm still learning. I'm still having to apply it to areas of my life where I just say, oh, God, it's not really going to matter how I do that because, you know, I don't have that much anyway. So what's the – he said, that's the whole test. You know, he said, because the ones who he blessed who doubled theirs, you know, took 5 and made it 10 and made 2, took 2 and made it 4, he says that you did good with what little you had. With what little you had. All the scriptures are the ones I gave last night. So you can go there if you want and look at them. And it's really pretty cool how God is teaching us about this. And so he's trying to teach us the side of God. That's in Matthew 25, verse 14, 15, you know, on down. And for some reason, I'm wanting to dive into it again tonight, although I don't really want to because I taught on it last night, right? But I think that this is a part of God that we're going to learn real quick, that when we do good with it, he says, good job, man, good and faithful servant. You know, you're going to, I'm going to put you in control of some major things, you know? So you'd think that, you know, he would kind of be a little bit more merciful to somebody who's in fear, but he doesn't do that. The business side of God, when he gives you something, abilities and talents and money that according to what you can handle. You know, most people can't handle too much. You know, they can't handle too much. And so because they don't have too much, they deal with it like, what good is my little bit going to do anybody? Well, it doesn't matter. When God says, you know, give to God what belongs to God and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, it doesn't matter how little bit it is, right? It doesn't really matter how small amount it is. And when we disobey God, and we do whatever we think with it, the thing that it reveals about you and I is that we can't handle anything. And usually he'll get rid of us, not rid of us in hell, but rid of us, you know, you can't be a part of my business crew. I can't trust you with money. I can't trust you with things, you know, because I gave it to you according to your ability, and look what you did with it, right? Look what you did with it. Wow, thank you, Jesus. He called him wicked and lazy, said, but his Lord answered and said to him, but you wicked and lazy servant, the one who had the one and hid it, right? You knew that I reaped where I didn't sow and gathered where I haven't scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So what was he doing? It was all a business deal. The whole thing, look at this, verse 27, this reveals to you, to us, that this is a business deal. Because what's he saying? He said, you should have taken the money, but I give you money that wasn't from your salary. I didn't ask you to take money from your salary and do anything with it. I didn't ask you to take anything from your rewards and do anything with it. I gave you a completely separate batch of money out of my pocket that you didn't earn, you didn't have reward, and I gave it to you according to your ability because I want to see how you handle business. Wow. Now that'll preach, right? I guess I didn't teach them it very good last night because I can't seem to get off of it right now. Y'all know me. I'm going to move on to something different, right? Yeah, I don't like to go the same thing night after night. But obviously, the Holy Spirit is saying, Randy, you know, he's teaching me too. Y'all, I have to be honest with you. He's kind of rubbing this in a little bit with me, you know. So y'all understand this is not just about y'all because y'all probably do better this than most people, But here he's talking about, see, you can tell this is the business part of God because he's saying, you know, because all this is about the master, all this is about the Lord, all this is about God, right? Right? Because it says in verse 14, in the very beginning, it said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's like a man traveling in a far country who called his servants, you know, and we know the Lord traveled to a far country, right, and delivered his goods to them. And the one he gave, and it talks about how he dealt and all that. So it's talking about, you know, the Lord leaves us with these things and gives us extra, gives us something that we didn't earn, right? These guys didn't earn this extra stuff. How do we earn things from God? Well, when you do works of obedience to God, you're earning that. You never earn your salvation. You can never, ever earn your salvation. Your salvation is free. But you do earn. And see, some people earn more, friend, because they do more. They obey more. And those who obey more and do with what God says
with what they have and do it according to his instructions, then he's able to trust them with more. So some people never move out of their state of mind where they are because they, you know, not, I'm talking about everybody, but I think for the most part, the Bible's either true or it's not. God is not mocked, right? A man, what he sows, he reaps. So, you know, sometimes people need to have the spirit of poverty broken off of them because they are sometimes good givers and they give unto God. But I think that for the most part, even in those times, with those people, including myself at one time like that, that, you know, I've always been a giver. I love to give. I love to help. I love to do just like most of you do. Right, but I didn't seem to be entering into the blessing. You know why? Because I wasn't doing it in the way God wanted. I just kind of threw my money out there. I gave my money that belonged to my tithe that belonged to the storehouse. I was giving it to, you know, poor and the needy and all that. And the Lord said, what are you doing? That's not my work. I went, I'm giving it to the poor and the needy. Lord, don't you love the poor? You say the poor. And he started correcting me. He started showing me. He said, your tithe, Randy, goes to the storehouse. The storehouse isn't just a church building with a pastor, a person calls himself a pastor. A storehouse is where you get your food from, where you get nurtured from. That's a storehouse. Storehouse is food, right? So it's like, where are you getting your food? Where are you getting nurtured from? Well, some people get nurtured from three or four different places. Okay, well, that's about right these days. So what do we do about that? You need to find the thing that feeds you. And if something feeds you more than other, then, you know, if you have a place that a teacher teaches and really you like the way they teach and that really feeds you and nurtures you and helps you grow, then give to them. Do whatever God's telling you to do. But make sure that whoever's feeding you, that you are the storehouse that's feeding you, make sure that you are, you know, honoring them. And when you honor them, you know, God's going to bless you with it. And so we can't just throw our tithe anywhere we want to do it because God has given strict orders that the tithe belongs to the storehouse, right? And that's the people that minister to you. That's the take care of business, you know, and it's always been like that. And so you can take your offerings and you can give your offerings to the poor. God's going to say your tithe belongs to the storehouse, period. That's where you're being fed. That's the fivefold ministry where you're being fed. It's not just a pastor. It can be an apostle. It could be a teacher. It could be a prophet. It could be an evangelist, you know. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and honest with God because God knows where you get fed, right? You get fed in places. You need to, you know, do your best to try to help them out. And if they're truly feeding you. And if they're giving prophetic words and those prophetic words are coming to pass, you're seeing them being used on the world stage and God's using them and ministering to you at the same time. You know, there's just consider it. Ask God to show you. Be honest with God. You know, nobody's going to sit there and watch everything you do. I don't get involved in any of that stuff. That's between you and God. You and God know that. So that's it, and it's left there. But if you're wondering why God's not blessing you, it's because it's not about whether your pastor knows or the evangelist you hang around with knows. No, it's that God knows, and God knows. If you're doing things with your money according to the word of God, you don't give your tithe to the poor and the needy. You give it to the storehouse, period. Your offerings can go anywhere you want to give them, right? And especially if God guides you in those things or you want to give to the poor and needy, you can give $20 tithe and give $200 of your offering to the poor and the needy, right? But we have to put things in order because God is watching to see if we're doing things according to his word. Right, and when you do according to his word, then he highly blesses you. He goes, man, you're doing it according to my word. You're not doing your own thing with my stuff, with the stuff that belongs to me. I'm talking about the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. That tithe does not belong to you. It does not belong to your children. It doesn't belong to your family. It doesn't belong to the guy next door who needs it real bad. No, that's your offering can do that, but your tithe belongs to the storehouse. That's the way God set it up, and when we do that in God's order, nobody's going to probably know but you and God. But God is going to know. That's the part you can't forget. God is God who knows. And it's God who's going to bless you. And when you do what he says, friend, he says, I will bless. When he told those people, you doubled yours, man. You, woohoo. Well done, he says. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Man, what a prophetic word. Enter into the joy of the, you know, he's just like all excited. Woo ha ha! Yo! You are blessed, man. I love you, dude. Girlfriend, you are awesome. Oh, then we get down there to the one. He said, the one time, you did what? You think just giving back to me what belongs to me? You think that when I gave it to you to multiply it, when I told you, you know how I deal with these things, you already knew it, you have knowledge of it, and yet you did your own thing? Listen to this. I love this part. The one that had the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. And you notice that the Lord didn't say, it's not true. No, right? He said, you are a hard man. This is what I'm trying to tell you tonight, friends, about the business side of God. He is you're going to find this out. And most of you know that most of you can't figure out why God doesn't bless you. I mean, really bless you, right? And so you don't realize it, but he's being a hard man. Why? Because you're not being blessed. Because you're doing things your own way instead of God's way, and therefore he's being hard to you, except you're blaming it on, well, you know, I don't know why I give to God, and then, but you're not doing it God's way. When you do it God's way, you know, yeah. So he said, I knew the other two who multiplied theirs, they knew he was a hard man too. Everybody knew he was a hard man. I'm reading you scripture, y'all. This is the New King James Version. This isn't some flaky version out there in La La Land, you know, which I like all versions, but I read the New King James because people complain that I don't. I listen to you. It doesn't make a difference to me as long as we get the truth, right? So he says, I knew. The servant says, I knew. So he had knowledge of it. I knew you were a hard man. I don't think very many people know that God is a hard man when it comes to business. They don't even know this. Well, they know it, but they don't know it. In other words, God's not blessing them, and they're saying God's not blessing me, and they're really saying God's a hard man because he's not blessing me, right? And it's true. And they're saying it without realizing what they're saying, that in business, God is a hard man. A difficult man. You can't just do whatever you think you want, right? Y'all love me still, right? I hope you do. Most of your offerings will come in anyway, so at least I could live through the weekend. I'll be fine. I'm just kidding, but right. So listen, I'm trying to help you understand why it's so hard sometimes. Because you're just doing whatever you think you want to do, whenever you want to do it. I've done the same thing, y'all. I mean, we're all in this thing together. I used to give my tithe. I said, the needy, the poor, the needy, my family need it, my children need it. You know, what's wrong with blessing my children with my tithe? They're God's children. I was telling God how he ought to do his word. I was. I didn't realize it, of course. You know, I wasn't doing it on purpose. I wasn't that doctrinally. I didn't have my doctrine straight. I didn't have the Bible straight. I was just kind of, well, you know what? It don't really matter. Well, that's the way the preachers are today. It's like, we can sell Jesus if we want to. That's just the way we raise money. Well, because the priests are that way, then the sheep become that way. The sheep go, well, you know, I can do whatever I want because, you know what, right? Even though it's not in the Bible, you know, and what the priests do, the sheep do. And after the sheep do it, the preachers do it, it all gets messed up, and then they all complain against each other. It's those sorry sheep you gave us, God. Those sorry sheep you gave us. They are the sorriest bunch of no good. They're greedy. They come in and they hear me preaching and teaching and prophesying, and sometimes I probably lie a little bit, but yeah, I'm blessing them, and you know, look what they do. They don't get nothing hardly. They walk out of here thinking they wipe their mouth and just walk out. I don't like them sheep. I got to go out and get a second job so I can live. But he's selling stuff. He's merchandising. The preachers are saying, well, you know what? Even though it's not in the Bible anywhere, I know because I know the Bible, and it's not in the Bible anywhere that we can sell the Word of God and our revelation from heaven. I know it's not in there, but you know what? That's just the way we do things. And then they wonder why the sheep say the same thing. Well, we know it's in the Bible to give our tithe to the storehouse, but you know what? I think I'm going to give it to my children. You know what? I think I'm going to give it to the poor and the needy. You know what? I think I'm going to do whatever I want, even though I know it's not in the Bible. But, you know, that's just the way we do things. Right? And they can't. And so it begins this cycle of hell on earth, of lack, if you will. Lack is hell on earth. It's not literal hell. Literal hell, you don't want literal hell. If you're born again, you won't ever see that. But, man, you know, get saved and know Jesus. Because literal hell, you're going to wish you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy, I guarantee you. Yeah, you'd be crying out for your worst enemy. Oh, God, don't let my worst enemy come here. It's horrible. That's what you'd be doing. You don't want to go there. So say, Jesus, save me. Wash me, cleanse me in your blood. Deliver me. Make me a Word of God servant. Make me a Word of God sheep. And not just a, like some of our leaders, do whatever I want and say I can do it because that's just the way we do things around here without the Word of God. And then they wonder why the sheep do the same thing. Yeah. Well, we raised that. We created our own little curse. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ not being preached. So what happens? A curse. What's the curse? God's blessings are not flowing. Paul the Apostle said, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel than what I preach, the gospel of Jesus Christ, if he preaches any other method, any way the gospel, the salvation comes, and what Christ died on the cross for, if they preach you any other gospel, let them be accursed. And that's exactly what's happened. The very preachers that some of them even quote some of these scriptures are doing their own thing with their money, and they can't figure out why they have to sell books and do things to raise money. Because they're doing whatever they want. If it doesn't work the way God says it, well, we'll just turn around and do it our way. They never really have a solid understanding of the Word of God in the first place, or they would never have been doing it because they realize they cursing themselves and cursing their sheep. And those who buy those books are eating the cursed thing. Because you don't take the Word of God and sell it. Because it puts a curse on it. It's called, though it may be some scriptural, biblical good things, because you bought it. Friend, that's why Jesus ran out the money changers and the buyers and the sellers. He ran them all out. Why? Because it was a cursed thing. And it's still a cursed thing. So you that are buying that stuff, you wonder why your life is messed up? Don't blame me, saith the Lord. Blame yourselves and blame those who sell it to you. And ask them where they get the scripture that says they're supposed to be selling the revelation of Jesus Christ as a fivefold ministry person. Ask them where that's at. And I guarantee you, you will have no biblical answer. They'll just tell you, well, that's just the way we do it, honey. You don't like it? Get out of town. And you can tell them, I think I will. Get out of town, that is. Out of your town. I'm going to town where they get to talk, do things by the Word of the living God. All right, y'all, so here we are. We're talking about the business side of God. And you can tell that I'm a little upset with this thing because, you know, I know that preachers are doing whatever they want, and they can't figure out why the sheep are doing whatever they want. Because they're releasing a cursed gospel, right? The gospel is not of Jesus, and they can't figure out. And if people can't figure out why they're getting sick and dying, because they're partaking of communion like we're going to take tonight, but the communion of the Word of God from the priest, they're putting out broken bread, and they're selling it to you, and you're buying it. And the curse is on it. Welcome to the cursed thing. You eat the Word of God that says, I am healed, and you find yourself getting sick. I don't understand why I started getting sick when I started reading this book about how to be healed. I bought the book. I paid for it. I didn't steal it. Bought it for $19.95. Had it on sale. Yeah. Well, think about it. Think about it really hard. Anyway, so the good side of this thing is that the Lord of the ones who did good said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler. Look at this. I'm good. Look at this prophetic word. This is amazing to those who do what God says God's way. All right. They knew he was a hard man too. The Bible says he was a hard man. So every one of those three guys knew that the Lord is a hard man. You know why he's hard to please? Because he's only pleased by what his word says. That's what makes him hard. In that sense, and people have to understand, you're saying God's hard? Yep, I'm saying the Bible says it, because he's hard to please, because the only way you can please him is through faith. And faith is only backed up and started with the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word. Right? So when you do it that way, guess what? Woo-ha! Right, I'm cowboy and cowgirl. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. I love you, man. You're awesome. Woo! You have been faithful over a few things. Over a few. You knew it wasn't much, but you were faithful with it. You did what I said. You didn't just say, oh, you know, it don't matter what I do. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't make that much anyway. That's not going to help anybody. It can't help anybody. But what's my $5 a week going to help anybody? And no, you didn't say that. You were faithful with a little, a few. And therefore, I will make you, look how God rewards. This is the reward. I will make you ruler over many things. Many things. I will make you ruler over many things. Yeah, baby. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Yeah, come on in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, ye that have become, all ye faithful, over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Am I losing it tonight or what? Yes. I think somebody is really messing me up tonight. I don't know who you are out there, but God bless you. I love you. I just get messed up over this stuff. Woo! Man, I need a church. I need a microphone and give me a TV camera, by the way, while you're at it. Get this stuff out there, man. So I'm telling people what the God, the true and living God, the one that they ought to be talking about. And the preachers sit there and whine. You know, I heard a preacher whining tonight. I mean, and one of them I truly love, and I've even talked good about him, about his teachings, Andrew Womack. He was talking tonight, and because I understand this thing. He said, yeah, you know, he was talking about giving and get Galatians 6:6, and I was listening to him. I never really been much of an Andrew Womack person. I caught him one day, and he said some things that I've never heard anybody say, that only heard me say, because God showed me, and I've only heard me say talk about it, honestly. So it kind of shocked me. I kind of went, wow, that's amazing. So I've listened to him. It's been a couple of months now. So every once in a while I listen to him, and he was talking about Galatians 6:6 tonight about, you know, you need to reward, bless those who take care of you and feed you. And then he started talking about, he wasn't whining. You know, Andrew Womack doesn't whine, but to me he was whining. He was saying, when God bless you, you ought to be giving, you ought to be helping those people. You know, you ought to be giving $5 a week, $1 a week, do something, get something in there. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, I'm talking back to him, right? He's on TV. He can't hear me, I don't think. Preaching on TV, and I'm talking back. I'm going, yeah, man, if you preachers will quit selling the Word of God, maybe the sheep will quit trying to do what they're doing. Maybe they'll start giving. And that's what I'm talking to him, right? And this happened tonight. I mean, tonight. I'm sitting there. I get mad about this. I get really upset about this. I get really a hard man when it comes to this stuff. I'm going, you whiner. And I really love Andrew Womack. I said, you whiner. I was actually calling Andrew Womack a whiner. Can y'all believe that? It was horrible. I haven't repented yet because I haven't had anything to repent of. But I said, you whiner. If you quit selling, and even though he does suggested stuff, I don't care if it's suggested, recommended, you know, amount. Don't even put a number on it at all. Give it away. And maybe you'll find out that these people, and he does give away some stuff, right? Probably one of the few, but some of his teachings, a lot of his teachings. I said, why don't you just quit selling anything, man, and quit whining about it, and start teaching the people the Word of God the way you're supposed to teach the Word of God as far as giving and receiving, and mainly the priests need to quit whining about the sheep and quit complaining about the sheep and start straightening y'all's little funky hide up and quit selling the Word of God, and maybe everything will get lined out. It's the priest's fault, not the sheep, the priest. I was doing just that tonight, shouting at the TV. I was. So y'all can tell I came on a little worked up tonight, and I, honest to God, I had not planned on going here. I mean, I was not going to, because I was going to save it for next week, you know, when I was a little bit less feeling the anointing on this, right? Yeah. So So anyway, so you're seeing this thing, y'all, and it's amazing that when you do what God says, how he just like, woo-hoo, enter into the joy of the Lord. And then, sad to say, he's talking about how wonderful everybody is, and he has to come down here to this one. It's messed up everything, put a kink in his wink, and, you know, so he would say, you wicked and lazy servant. Yeah, have y'all ever heard me talk like that? No, I'm talking about it like this tonight. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where. You knew I was a hard man. So you ought to deposit my money in, with the bankers, which tells you that he's talking. God is revealing the business side because he's saying you should have given my money and at least given it to the bankers. What is bankers? It represents business, the business side of God. He's thinking like a businessman here. Coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So how does God look at things when he gives us things to deal with? As a businessman, strictly business. And you don't deal with it right, friend, you're out of here. I'm not talking about going to hell. If you're his child, you're truly born again, you're never going to go to hell. Never. Once you're born again, it's like a little baby. Once that baby comes into this world, you can kill him. You can chop him up little pieces in the womb. You can do whatever you want to, kill him when he comes out of the womb. But he's been created and he's been conceived. Therefore, he will always be your child, even if you murder him. Same thing with coming to the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God, once you come to the kingdom of God, you belong. You got the blood. You belong to them. You are theirs. You are their DNA. When you're born again, you get the DNA of God. That can never change, not ever. Now, your soul can sin and mess up, and this is what we're talking about here. This is soul sin here. Soul sin. The sin of the soul. God wants to make you whole. We're going to take communion tonight over this. All right, I know y'all still love me because y'all are one tough hombres. I know you love me. I know you love me. That's for sure. I'm trying to help open up a door so you can hear the Lord say, hear the Lord say, enter into my joy. Yeah, I want to give you a new toy. Yeah, God loves to give toys. He loves to give toys to those who do what his word says. Just come over there and make up your own stuff. Well, I know your preacher's been making up their own stuff, and you've been but that doesn't give you any right to do it. Come on, don't be blaming preachers. Yeah, I blame the preachers because you know what? They're wrong. And because of that, the sheep don't do again. So they blame the sheep, and the sheep blame them. What good is that ever going to do anything? Right? We need to grow up, all of us, me, you. I put myself in there, and I literally mean it. We need to grow up. I'm trying to. I'm believing God to. Yeah, I'm going to quit trying to be nice. There's not the spirit of niceness. It's a spirit of love, joy, and peace, not niceness. It's kindness, not niceness. Nice is like telling everybody what they want to hear. You know, when you love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth, right? You're going to tell them in love, even if you get a little excited. All right, here's one of my new sayings. Some of you guys heard me say this. I kind of a little funny thing here. I think it's kind of funny. This is a new thing I've been saying about prophets who've been prophesied the Trump thing and a bunch more, and they're still prophesying stuff. This is a new thing. I heard it coming out of my mouth one night on the show, and I thought it was pretty amazing. The prophets of today prophesy like this. This is what I would do if I was God, thus saith the Lord. When I heard that coming out of my mouth, I guarantee you, if y'all heard me say that, that was not pre-thought. That came out of me like a spontaneous whatever. And like the prophets of our day, they tell you, this is what I would do if I was God. And we're not saying we're God or anything, but this is what we would do if we were God, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord on there, but they don't tell anybody. It's not the big L. They just say, thus saith the Lord, which the words are the same, but it's the little L. In other words, you know, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? The Lord of Lords. So, you know, we're rulers. We're going to rent. So they're saying, thus saith the little Lord. And they forget to tell people, I didn't mean the big Lord. I meant the little Lord. I'm just prophesying what I think I would do if I was God. And that's what they did. They prophesied that. All right. And also, I got a new one here. God is not a girl. I just got this tonight. God is not a girl, but he likes to talk to the girls. Y'all like that one? God is not a girl, but he likes to talk through the girls. I don't know. That kind of came out of my mouth. I'm not giving God credit for that one yet because it may not be that great. I kind of thought it was pretty cool. I kind of liked it. God is not a girl, but he likes to talk through the girls. Right? He likes to use all of us, but I thought that was pretty cool. All right. Go here and get ready to take communion. All right. Okay. Thank you for being with us tonight. And I got a little bit excited there, so why are you always blaming me? Always blaming me. Yeah. I love it when people say this stuff. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's get ready to do communion tonight and ask the Lord to keep us and bless us. And, you know, people sometimes don't take communion because they're afraid that they have sin in their life. And they'll curse themselves. But the reason that you can take communion with sin in your life is that do you want to get rid of the sin? That's what you have to ask yourself. If you want to get rid of that sin, then you're going to be fine. If you don't want to get rid of it, then don't take communion. But if you want to get rid of that sin, then take it. It's just that simple. If you want to. If you don't want to, that means you're not examining yourself properly. All right? That's what that means. Yeah. But if you're examining yourself correctly, then you are going to want to take communion because the proper examination of yourself is, I want to be free of this sin. I want to be free of this contention, this strife, this rebellion, whatever it is. And, you know, so help me God to get rid of it, right? Yeah. So judging yourself, because it says here at the end of this scripture, it says, well, often as you eat this bread, okay, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner, in other words, you don't examine yourself properly, but verse 28, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So examining yourself means you have to ask yourself, examine yourself, right? Ask yourself the question, do I want to be free of this? You know, yeah, I did it today. Again, I did it yesterday. I did it today. It's really bothering me. You know, I'm not going to take communion because I don't want to curse myself. No, if you want to get free of it, communion is your answer. That's what true examination is. It's not that you're perfect because it's like trying to get saved by being, you got to line everything up and then you get saved. You know, right? What Jesus did on the cross, you can't line yourself up with that. All you got to do is want to be free of it. All you got to do is want to be free of it. If you want to be free, then that's it. It's like you want to be free of sin, you want to get born again. You can't line yourself up and straighten yourself up and then go, okay, God, can you come into my life now because I don't want to curse myself? Yeah. No. You all you got to do is want. All you do is desire. And that's examining yourself. Examining yourself isn't looking for sin. Some people, they're not going to look at some of the things they're doing as sin because they don't think it's sin, even though it's in the Bible that it's sin. Right? Yeah. So there you go. Basically, examining yourself is do I want to be free of this? Not do I have it, but do I want to be free of it? And how you get free? By the precious blood of Jesus, right? Not by straightening yourself out. That's under the law. You can't do it by straightening yourself out, friend. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, it really doesn't. And the sooner we get a hold of that and understand that, the better off we're going to be, right? Yeah, and then we can take communion, realizing what communion does. Communion is not about being perfect. You're examining yourself and finding yourself perfect because most people don't even know how to examine themselves. Truly don't know how to examine themselves. they'll have themselves all innocent and all that. They'll be just doing stuff completely against the word of God. Yeah. It's do you, you examine yourself, you go, do I want to be, you examine your motive. Do I want to be free of the sin? Not really. Then if you don't really want to be free of it, then I would not take communion if I were you. If you're enjoying it and you want to keep doing it and keep causing your soul to go into darkness more and more all the time, not your spirit man, your soul. Your spirit man does not go into darkness. Once he's born again, he's seated at the right hand. He's seated with Christ in heavenly place. That he is in the spitting image of Jesus. Exactly. It's the only part of you that is. Your soul is works. Works. Your spirit man got there without works. You're born again without works. Your soul works out its salvation. It's a work thing. Right? That's where works come in. That's why you can get saved 100 times. Because with the engrafted word of God, your soul gets saved, you know, or gets renewed. Really, it doesn't actually get saved. Your spirit man is what gets truly born again. Your soul gets changed. Your spirit man gets born again. Your soul doesn't get born again. It gets made through you receiving the word of God and learning the word of God. It gets renewed and changed into the image of Jesus. See, that's the beauty of it. That's why you're righteous already. You're always righteous. There's a part of you that's righteous and there's a part of you that's not righteous. Part of you, that, 1 John says that they will never sin. He that is born of God never sinneth. What does that mean? That your spirit man, right? Seated with Christ, sealed. Your soul sins, this and gets right and sins and gets right and gets right and gets right and gets right and sins and gets right and gets right. And little by little you grow and your soul begins to change little by little and receive with meekness the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. Your spirit man gets born again. Your soul gets saved on a regular basis. It's true, man. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. You can't make this stuff up. Only God could have come up with this, man. This is amazing. Truly, truly amazing. Yeah. All right. So let's lift up the bread, if you would. Hope you have your communion with you. Let's lift it up. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul says, now listen, hope you've examined yourself because, you know, it tells you here what the Lord says and how to eat it and all that stuff. And then down later it says, oh, wait a minute, you got to examine yourself. So that's why we did the examine yourself thing first. Verse 28, examine. Man must examine himself. And I'm explaining to you what examining that means. That means you're without, examine yourself, find yourself without sin. You're finding yourself, do you want to get free of your sin? Do you want that sin broken off you forever? This is the process of getting that done. That's why a lot of people keep doing the same old thing all the time because number one, they really don't want to get rid of it, and they take communion anyway and they curse themselves. You bring judgment on yourself. That's what the scripture says. That's the real truth. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Verse 31. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may be condemned, may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait one another, and anyway, it goes on to talk about that. But so, y'all, I hope y'all are getting this with me tonight. I love you. I want you to know the truth. I truly want you to know. And sometimes I'm a little tough, and that's the way God's made me. So I'm just thankful that I can get the courage to talk really straight with God's people, and you'll let me in the long run. Hope. All right. Paul the Apostle says, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, let's break it, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat, friend. Father, we lift up the cup, Lord. We thank you for the precious blood. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, in my blood, this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, his drink. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Yeah. Blessed be the name. You will not come until we are saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand what a businessman that you are. But what a great shepherd you are, and what a forgiver and a lover and a compassionate, loving, kind shepherd. And Lord, you teach us your ways. You also teach us that you're a businessman. You're a hard man when it comes to obedience. The things that are free is full of grace and mercy and compassion. The things that we earn in a sense by the works of faith, not the works of the flesh, but works of faith. Come and buy gold, try it in the fire. Come and buy it. How do you buy it? By the works of faith, by obeying what God says. And we thank you, Lord, that those things do not come for just sitting around doing whatever we think that we want to do, the way we want to do it. It is obeying your word and doing what your word says, the way your word says it, not just coming up with something because we think it should be. Forgive us, God. Cleanse us. Cleanse Randy Chandler. Cleanse your leadership, God. I'm more concerned about the leader than I am about the sheep. God, I thank you for convicting your leaders that they need to quit whining to the sheep about why they're not giving and paying the tithe, because they're setting their selling and doing just the opposite of what the Word of God says. They should be giving. Therefore, because they're not giving, they're taking. Therefore, they have to take it one way or the other. They have to sell it and take it from them. You're not going to get this book until I get my money. And I'm not selling it to you, by golly. No, I'm not. I'm not selling it. Now, when can we get, well, as soon as I see that money in my hand, you'll get it. Friend, that's selling. I don't care what you call it. That is selling. A woman of God one time, if I told you the name, you know who they are, told me personally that, Randy, the reason we don't give our books away and trust the people is because you can't trust the people. That's literally what she told me. You can't trust people to take. You send your book out for free. They may or may not. They may or may not pay you. They may or may not give. Man, I'm thinking you would make a great business person because in the business world, you're exactly right. If I was in the business world, I wouldn't send it to them unless God gave me a special dream and vision. I would want my money, and then I'd send it. That's a good business person. That's good business. In the business world, perfect. I would do the same thing in the business world. That's what we do. You don't get the merchandise until we see your money and make sure it's approved and in our hand. Then you're going to get it. That's the business world. Nothing wrong with that. But in the body of Christ, the leadership of Jesus, you don't say the same. We don't treat it. It's not God. It's not worldly business. It's God's business. Who are you giving the seed? Who are you giving the word to? The people and the to trust the people, are you giving it to the sheep and trusting God to supply you? Sure, some people are going to not pay you. Of course, that's a common fact. But you know what? Who are you dependent on, the people or God? Who's the one rewarding you for your hard work of writing? I heard a wonderful woman of God say, this is a different woman. on international TV. Come on, y'all. I worked hard to write this book. You need to buy it. You know who that was? You know who that person was? I'm not going to tell you. You listen to her all the time on PGN. I mean, on PGN. On TBN and Daystar. Joyce Myers. I heard that come. And then Christ, Alina, I heard it come right out of her mouth. She said, well, I worked hard writing this book. And I don't appreciate y'all not buying it. You need to buy this book because I worked hard on it. I literally heard her say that coming out of her mouth. I was going like, this is you can't make this stuff up, man. This is a great teacher and a great woman of God. I mean, I was like going, I'm so glad you're acting like a donkey because I tell people that you guys act like donkeys and now you're not hiding it. I loved it. I laughed. I'm going, thank God, at least they're telling the truth. At least she just came right out and said it. I worked hard at writing this book. You need to buy it. That's exactly what she said, y'all. Exactly what she said. Exactly. Joyce Myers, our beloved sister and friend and a woman of God. And I mean that literally. You got some great teachings. And her being totally honest was shocking. I mean, she literally said that on TBN one night. I remember they were honoring her for, I don't know, maybe it was a different time. I don't remember exactly what was going on. But she was being interviewed. She said, yeah, you don't need to be buying my book. But I worked hard at writing it. I worked really hard at writing it. I mean, I couldn't believe she said, I said, there you go. Thank you, Jesus. Manifestation. Amen. You're not going to get it to you. She didn't say this part, but you know, if she sends you her book without the money, I want to know. Anybody get some of those, let me know. I guarantee you're not going to get nothing until they see that money for their revelations from heaven. This will change your life, and you're going to pay for it, too. I guarantee it before you get it. Yes, sirree. Mature Christians know that. Mature Christians know that. That is hilarious. True mature Christians that are biblical ones know y'all are full of it in that area. Y'all can tell I'm worked up in that, right? I am. But I love it. And hopefully you love some of it at least. All right, let's go ahead and go ahead and pray over offerings tonight. Thank you for that. Thanks for giving. And thanks for being a part of PGN. We are really believing God to bless and help you as you give to God. And quit buying people's stuff, man. I mean, I know it's hard enough if you see something that you really want. I just guarantee you it comes with a curse. And I mean a curse not from the devil, the curse of God. Paul the Apostle said, anyone who preaches the gospel any other way that I'm preaching it, that can be a curse. And that is exactly the cursed gospel is selling the gospel. The truth may be in the world, in the book. The truth may be there. Curse is in the exchange of money. Because that is ungodly. And you're doing it. And that's why Jesus drove out the money changers and the buyers and the sellers. He didn't just drive out the money changers. It's because they were being dishonest. He would have just drove them out. Why would he drive out the poor, innocent sheep who were being ripped off by these? That's what a lot of these preachers say. John Hagee's son said that one time. I almost threw up, literally. I heard him say it. Oh, that's because he drove them out because they were being dishonest. And they were asking too much money for the stuff. I'm like, why did he drive out? It says, and the scripture says that he drove out the buyers and the sellers. Now look at all the versions. I mean, look at all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at all of them because I think a couple of them say specifically, make it very plain, he drove out the buyers and the sellers. So why would he drive out the sellers, the poor little sheep? I mean, the buyers, poor little sheep. They're just buying. They got to have they've got to have some dove to get their offering going on. They got to, they pay a little bit extra for it. So what? They had to pay more for them. They weren't ripping anybody. It's not about ripping them off. It's about the fact that it's not God. All right, y'all can blame Andrew Womack for all this tonight. He did get me worked up. I wasn't sure I was going to talk about it tonight, but he definitely got me. I said, dude, I'm sitting there, you know, getting not real loud, but kind of like noisy at the TV going, you know, you need to quit whining about the sheep and get your little funky butt in gear and stop selling the Word of God, even at a suggested price, and start giving it like the Bible says. That's what I was doing, Andrew Womack, and I listened to him. Been listening to him the last couple of months. And I'm not a Andrew Womack person at all. But when I heard him say that tonight, I got a little cranky. I did. I was speaking loudly to the TV. And we need to straighten his funky butt up and quit selling the Word of God. I don't care. I'll give a third of it away. I don't care. Give it all away. Be biblical. You're such a biblical teacher. What are you doing whining about stuff? I don't know. It really upset me, y'all. I think you can tell. I don't apologize either. I'm not going to apologize. Yep. I'm not going to do it. Not tonight, at least. I may be apologizing for it Monday, but I doubt it. All right. Thank y'all. You still love me? Mm-hmm. No, you do. Better. All right, because you know I love you, right? Yeah, I really do. And I want you to know the real truth. All right, let's take our offerings tonight and pray over them tonight. Thank you for being with us. And we will pray over them and thank everybody for giving. Let's see. I think I'm just gonna hang on a second. Give me just a moment here. This thing. Thank you guys, and we love you. Thank you for your being a blessing, and we love praying over the offerings that God's people send in. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle breakthroughs tonight, God, in their lives. Lord, as they do things according to the Word of God, not according to their own feelings, what they think is right. But Lord, we're doing our best. We're learning how to line ourselves with your Word. It takes communion. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes good preaching, good teaching. When we have the Word of God taught to us properly, and then the priests do their job, and the priests give the Word and serve and become servants instead of sellers. There you go. There's another word. You want to be a seller or you want to be a servant? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm really into this tonight, okay? I'm not that sorry, but yeah. What are you, a seller or a servant? You here to serve or you here to get? God wants to get it to you, but you got to get it God's way. Amen. So may God forgive our shepherds, and truly I mean that, because the cursed gospel is part of that is the money. The money is extremely important of how we do it and how God has us do it. We do it God's way, we get blessed. We don't do it God's way, and that whatever error we don't do it God's way, we can do 99%, a little bit of leaven, the whole lump. In that one little area where they're doing something they know is not the Word of God, they just decided that they can't trust the sheep to do it, So we're going to sell it and make it enticing. Oh, when you get this revelation, you're gonna have my anointing. I've heard Sid Ross say that many times. You get this CD, 1995, you're going to have the same anointing. I've heard him say it right out of his own mouth many times. Selling, I'm telling you, I love Sid. Sid's got some great stuff. He's a Jew. Jew or no Jew, that make a difference to me. If you're telling the truth, you're telling the truth, whether it's Jew or if you're a Jew and you're lying, you're a lying Jew. If you're a Gentile lying, you're a lying Gentile. Right? There's no in between. Literally.
No stuff.
Yeah, literally. All right. Now that I got all of that out of my system, at least I think I did. Let's pray we're all free tonight. How about that? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea, Father, $5. Thank you for Andrea for her offering. She said, calls it an offering. Thank you for that offering, Andrea. And thank you, Jesus, for that, for blessing. And thank you, Lord, Father, for who feeds her and what she gets fed. God, I thank you that you're feeding her the word of the Lord, the word of God. And whether it comes through pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, whatever they are, apostles, and God, you're feeding her, and she's getting your raw word, the pure word, God, in Jesus' name, where we do things according to the word of God, and we live, we do things according to ourselves, and we die, or we just don't become blessed, we slowly die on the vine. And I thank you, Lord, that Andrea, God, is going to live in strength and power, and you're fertilizing her, and she's going to bear much fruit in Jesus' name, because we bear much fruit because of the way we get watered, whether we're getting watered or not, and fertilized. And fertilizer, I fertilized my pecan tree once. Man, it grew so fast. I put a little bit too much on it. Andrea, it was horrific and hilarious at the same time. Those pecans went from being, you know, regular-sized pecans to being huge. I mean, I thought the Giants were out this one. They were huge. I put way too much fertilizer and on it. And those little things, you know, you put in the ground, you kind of pound them in the ground, and I put four of them all around the tree, four. And I think I was supposed to put, like, maybe half of that. I don't know. But it grew so fast, Andrea, and grew so big, the pecan. But the tree was outgrowing the bark, and the bark wasn't growing. And so several parts of the tree, you know, and the base of it, it was all over the place, actually. The inside of the tree was grown faster than the bark could grow. And so I've had these exposed parts, you know. I'm looking, oh, my gosh, it grew so fast. It was amazing. So may God help you find the true balance of your fertilizer, right? Yeah, of the fertilizer. And we allow God to fertilize us. Paul says, I count all things as dung or fertilizer for the glory of God. And I thank you, Jesus, that Andrea, she lays her life down to you, God, that you're going to bless her in Jesus' name and fertilize her just perfect. She's not going to grow where her bark doesn't grow as fast as the inside of her tree. She's going to grow in measure, God, in perfect balance in Jesus' name. Be blessed in her mind and her heart and her spirit, her soul and her finances. We'll all be equally blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Angela Lenham, Angela Joy, Angela Joy, $8.88. Thank you, Angela Joy. Let me make sure I get that correct. I almost said it wrong. Angela Joy, good to have you. Thank you for that. All right, Angela Joy, thank you in Jesus' name, $8.88. Thank you, God, for this whole, the scenery. God's going to give you new scenery. New scenery, I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's physical scenery so much as it could be that too, but new scenery as in the way you see things. The way you see things becomes the scenery of your life. It becomes the way you look at things. You know, you can wake up one morning. When I'm having a bad day, you know, when I'm having a day, I got too much going on, and I'm not keeping up very good, and my dreams are weird, and I wake up feeling weird. You know, sometimes, you know, and I see the whole day as kind of weird. You know, like, man, is this a weird day for you? Everybody's, no, not a weird day for me. It's a great, beautiful day. Why is it weird to you? Because the scenery inside of me, right? So the scenery. So, but when the good scenery, so I thank you, Lord, for the scenery, God, the way she's going to see things, going to
see, the way you see creates your scenery. There's a new one. I've never heard that one before. Create your scene, the scenery. You know, like the, you know, like the scenery here in Texas, then you go up to the mountains, you know, whole different scenery. Right? And so let's look at the word scenery and see what it says. I kind of like to check that out. All right. Hang on a second. People are texting me. Oh, yes. People were asking for the giving link. That is awesome. Thank you for that. Yes, I'll gladly send it to you. Thank you for asking. Yes, thank you. All right, there you go. I don't know who that is, but all right, Mike and Veronica, give me the Venmo, please. I need Venmo. I can give you the monies. What do you mean Venmo? I got PayPal. What is Venmo? What is Venmo? I don't know what Venmo is. Is that? What is that? How about Cash App? The Cash App. Cash App. Show me the Venmo. Show me a picture of it, please. I can't. All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. You can't give through Cash App? You usually give through Cash App. I mean, I guess you can't do that right now. Maybe you're in the position you're in. You're not able to do that. You guys usually give through Cash App. That's why I was just thinking, is Venmo Cash App? I don't think it is. No, neither of them. Okay, that's fine. I understand. Yeah, I understand how things can be different. Okay. Show me what Venmo is. I might have it, and I don't know it. I have several different things, so thanks for asking. I appreciate that very much. All right, so let's go here, and what was I going to do? I was looking up a word. Angela Joy, what words are I going to look up? All right, send me the Venmo thing so I can know what it is. I may know what it is, and I just don't know it. Okay. Angel Joy, what was I going to look up? What was I looking up? I got distracted with my text. I was going to look up something for you. She may not be listening right now. Anybody remember? What was that? Anyway, I guess we'll look it up later. Probably think of it in a little bit. Okay. Oh, that's Venmo. Scenery, thank you. You're listening. I didn't know if you were on or not. It's cool. Okay, I'm working on several things at one time here, so give me just a moment. Hang on a second. All right, here we go. All right, we're looking up scenery. And we'll see what all the words says here. All right, here we go. All right, we're going to do this thing. Meaning of scenery. The natural features of a landscape considered in terms of their appearance, especially when picturesque. Spectacular views of mountain scenery. Okay, so let's talk about the natural. And it may be all it is. I don't know what this is. I'm interpreting it as spiritual also, of course, as you know. It's kind of the way we do things around here. Sometimes if God says so, try to do what the Lord says, right? All right. Hang on a second. Too much goes on around here. You're in the show. It's amazing. It's fun, though. Okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Most High. Yeah. Okay, we're looking at scenery here, so give me a moment. I'm looking at stuff and doing everything at the same time. So we'll see if we can do it. Can we do it with Jesus' help? We know we can. Yes, we can. No doubt. Okay. All right, I'm looking it up here. Thank God. Here we go. Okay, scenery. Also, here's another one. The period, the painted background used to represent natural features or other surroundings on a theater stage or movie set. All right, let's look up here, the full meaning of scenery. What is the full meaning of scenery? The painted scenes or hangings and accessories used on a theater stage. Okay. Don't have any other meaning other than that? Come on. General appearance of a natural surroundings. When these are beautiful, we stopped at the top of the hill to admire the scenery. All right. Okay, so when you think of music scenery, think of music scenery definition, you refer to an area of activity as a particular type of scene, a scene in a, you know, in a movie or in a music, a particular orchestra part, you know, I really like the part where the trumpets and the flutes were playing or something like that. That's a scene, though, not scenery. Anyway, I'm trying to find this thing, a scenery here. What does scenery mean in drama? Important in theater. I don't know what this means. I'm just hearing what I heard the word. I am presently rearranging some things. Okay. I don't know, girl. I just, you know, we're just raw around here. I just tell you exactly what I get. If I don't understand it, I tell you I don't understand it. Because it doesn't always mean I have to understand it. The painted scenery of hangings and accessories used on a theater stage. Okay. So that's all the natural realm. So I was thinking more. Of course, I know it could be, you know, God could give you a vacation, you could, scenery could change on that, you could, you know, but you know, the spiritual scenery too, the spirit always, you know, Jesus taught in parables using natural things like scenery, you know, the scenery, you get a picture in your mind of, you know, a vineyard, and he talked about vineyards and pruning them and making them prove, you know, so he would use a natural thing to create an actual scenery of a picture in your mind to create something. So I'm thinking that it's God is, you know, allowing you to, anytime you get opened up to a brand new way of seeing things, like, you know, I get woke up to all kinds of things all the time. And that is in the Word of God. When God starts opening my eyes to you know, what the real problem is. Like we talk about the financial problems and merchandising. That's one of the big things right here. So when you get your eyes open up to that, this, everything about that you see, like when I watch preachers talk and I see them, the scenery I see is that they're blaming the sheep. They don't think they're blaming the sheep, but they're blaming the sheep. That's the way I see it. I see it. And the scenery, you know, that's created through all this stuff. Like when I see them, like I saw Andrew Womack today, I really love Andrew Womack. He has some great teachings, a great teacher. I listened to him the last couple of months more than I listened to anybody. And it's been really cool, right? So I like him. And so when I heard him talking tonight, I'm going like, you know, I was talking back to him. He I don't think he could hear me, but I was talking back to him. Because the scenery he was painting in my mind as a person who has had his eyes open to this stuff, I knew what he was doing. He was blaming the sheep instead of blaming himself and people that are much worse than him even that sell the gospel. You see, so scenery is sometimes, you know, the way you see things, because the scenery is what you see, right? So when you have a new scenery, that means that when God opens up my eyes to revelation of Jesus, like on the road to Emmaus when they ate the bread and all of a sudden their eyes were open to the scenery. What was the scenery? Well, before, the guy they were talking to was just a guy. Oh, you don't know what's been going on? And yet it was Jesus the whole time. The scenery that they were looking at, you know, with him, they were looking at, what, you know, you don't know about what's been going on? Where have you been? And it was Jesus they were talking to. So he got down there and their hearts were burning with him. But that's all they could figure out, what's going on with the scenery. What's wrong with the scene, you know? And so they ate bread, and all of a sudden their eyes were open to a new scenery. They saw that it was Jesus, yet it was Jesus the whole time. So sometimes when your scenery things change, you know, that your eyes get open to, that was Jesus the whole time. So the scenery in front of me, you know, that I thought was one thing was really another. I was talking to the Lamb of God the whole time and sitting there thinking I'm talking to some guy who doesn't even know what's going on around Jerusalem. What? You don't know what's going on? And he started expounding the word of God to them, you know. And their hearts burned, but that's all they knew. They had burning hearts. They had heartburn in a good way, but they didn't know why their hearts were burning until the scenery inside of them changed and they began to see things. So I see God really opening your eyes to, you know, brand new things, just like he's doing with me. He does it with me all the time lately. He's constantly showing me. He'll give you one revelation. It'll change the way you see, the way you look at things, the way you behold things. You know, the scenery, life begins to change. I begin to see, I can see, you know, I see people's motives sometimes. Sometimes God will show me their motives. And the reason he does that is because he's been dealing with me about my motives, right? Teaching me about my motives and my things. And when he teaches me about mine and I become honest about it and truthful about it and say, okay, God, here we go. Then when I see other people, my scenery changes. In other words, where I was blind before, now I can see what their motives are, you know, when he wants me to. And so the scenery, everything changes. You know, the way Jesus saw the scenery of life, he looked out over the world, he saw demonic influences everywhere. The people couldn't see it because Jesus' eyes were open to the true scenery. He could see demons ruling over people and over nations and, you know, all that. And even Satan took him and showed him the scenery of the world. You know, look out there and see, you know, I will give this to you if you'll bow down. So he opened his eyes to the true scenery. Who owned it? Who ruled it? And it was Satan, and Jesus saw the scenery of the world. And he saw the true scenery of what was really going on. And the people couldn't even see it. No one knew that except Jesus, because his eyes were open to what was really going on, to the true scenes, the true scenery. In other words, he knew why things went on the way they did, what the purpose was, and who was ruling it. And yet most people thought, you know, they didn't know what it was. But so God is opening up to the scenery, a new scenery. And hopefully it'll be something cool in the natural realm too. I don't know. She says she's trying to help me out here. She says she's moving things around and that, I don't know. Awesome. I think that is it. I have just saw something about a person. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's kind of I don't claim to know everything. You know, as you guys know, I plead ignorance most of the time about knowing everything. I don't really claim to know everything. And I don't try to act like I know anything that I don't know. If I know it, I'll let you know, and you know I know it. That's it. If I don't know, then I'll tell you I don't know. You know, I don't want to put on any airs of any kind. Right, so that's just me, though. And so there you go. So I wasn't sure where that was going to go. But, you know, our eyes, when he opens up your eyes, the way you see the world completely changes. You see the real, if we could see the real scenery, like Jesus saw it when he looked out there, you know, he saw angels, he saw demons. He knew that was what was really making the world move. And because he saw the real scenery, he knew what was really going on, and he could deal with everything at the root level. He knew the root level means he understood the spiritual dimensions that was controlling things and how to heal the sick, how to cast out devils, and he knew his authority, and he knew who was doing what, and he could see everything. Jesus could see everything the way it really was and not the way people thought it was, the fake scenery. You know, oh, that person did that because they have a mental problem. Well, that could be part of it, but Jesus would know, no, that was a demon. If he could see the scenery I see, you'd know that's a demon. That is not just some, you know, they took too many of this. They did. They had some issues as a child. No, that was a demon doing that. He knew. He'd do the true scenery of what's really going on. All right, I'm trying to move on with this. And God bless you in your financial realm. Angel Joy, in Jesus' name, help you to walk in the place of a blessing and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, God bless your seed. In Jesus' name, amen. Increase her, and God bless her with that well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Hallelujah. Daryl, Nicole's friend, fiancé, I think, is what they're calling it now. Fiance, is it fiancé or significant other? He wrote in his offer, he said, significant other, Nicole. In the future, you know, you mean, I guess you're talking about marriage, that kind of thing. You know, I don't like to give words about marriage unless I have three dreams and a vision, because I've, you know, back in the days, I've done that before, and not that I wouldn't. And, you know, I think you guys are wonderful. I don't really know from God exactly what's going on. I think you're blessed. You seem like a really blessed person to me, and God wants to use you, and you guys are really connected. You know, significant other, I think that's cool. I think that's great. You guys will know that yourself. It's hard for me to give words about, you know, you need to get married. You should get married. You know, you need to get married because you need each other, because God wants you to be, you know, you need each other. You need God. God needs you. He wants you all together. You know, it's hard for me to do that, to be honest with you, because at times I've given words like that, and then people got together, and they both act like stubborn donkeys, and they couldn't figure out, they could blame me, you know, because they got married and they both turned into stubborn donkeys, and it didn't work out, at least for a while. And they blamed me for it. You know, well, you told us it was going to work. So, you know, not that you guys would do that. You guys wouldn't do that. But to my experience, you know, I have had experience with that. So I'm really careful about marriage is an eternal thing, in my opinion, and a blessed thing and a holy thing. And I'm honored that you would ask me about that. Truly, truly, I really am. And I have given words about that before, but it's like three dreams and a vision thing, you know. But you guys will know within yourself, you know, where you're going with this. And I would personally bless you. Would love to bless you, and if you would like that, and honor you, and you know, believe God to bring you guys together. I think it's awesome. It's very, very sweet of you to ask me about that. I feel honored about it, and I've done a little bit of ministering about that, I think, before maybe, but I thank the Lord for their future, God, that you're going to bless them, God, you're going to nurture them, they're going to nurture each other, Father, in Jesus' name. You're going to, when you put two, it's like anointings, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to have like two or three or four or five ingredients to make it work, and I thank the Lord that Daryl and Nicole have those ingredients that will make something beautiful work. In Jesus' name, and I just bless them, God. I thank you, Lord, for their future is awesome and amazing. I know Nicole is an amazing person, and what I know about Daryl in the spirit, God, he's a very blessed man to have a person like Nicole to be a part of, and I know she has a great insight, and she has a great taste, and she knows how to look and how to see. And I thank you, Lord, that Daryl, because she loves you, we will love you. You know, right? No doubt about it. And because she loves you and honors you, we will love you and honor you always. And we thank you, Lord, for that blessing, God. We thank you for increasing and multiplying them let them have, you know, I pray that if you guys do this thing, you have children, you are blessed. I know Nicole has not have a child yet. Thank you, Lord, that you would bless that union in Jesus' name and let them, you know, grow together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and be blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. And also, let me just pray regular over to you. So thank you, Lord, for Daryl, God. I thank you for the wisdom you give him, God, on how to handle controversial situations, that he can find himself not in compromise, but in the ability to have wisdom on how to answer questions like Jesus did. Jesus didn't compromise, Daryl, as you know. He would come right out and say, you know, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. And that's not what they wanted to hear, but it was the truth, and he blew them away with it. So he didn't compromise. But he footed him, and he understood who he was, and he answered with great wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, for that wisdom upon Daryl, God. Daryl Paul is a man of wisdom, and I thank you, Jesus. I call that forth in him in Jesus' name, that he will use wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom from above. Amen. Amen. All right, Regina, $10. Thank you, Regina, for that tonight. Thank you. She gives to – you can also give through Zelle. If you give through Zelle, you can do that. All right, y'all, give me a second here. All right, take our next one here, Regina. Thank you, Regina. Hallelujah. Regina, I thank you for the household God, and I thank you, Lord, that her household, God, that you are blessing her household in Jesus' name. I just sense this, that God is, you know, bringing a household blessing to you. In the name of the Lord, you know, not just your house of old, but your house of new, like the latter house would be greater than the former house. Amen. In Jesus' name. And yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for the friendship, God. I thank you, Lord, for bringing her into friendship in Jesus' name, and how to let the friendship of God in her manifest with people. And I see, just like, you know, it's one, I know that you're a friendly person, just like, you know, I think most people are friendly persons. Christians are friendly people, but I see, like, God, you know, anointing you with a friendship, being able to tap into people, to make friends in a new level, in a new way, where people become your friend because God, you know, is making you friends with his friends. He's showing you how to tap into the friendship of people and the friendship into their friendship and to drawing the friendship, like when to draw the friend out of them. Not everybody's a friend, but a person who knows how to draw friendship out of somebody, then they become your friend instead of just somebody who uses you or, you know, just uses you for whatever they want. You know, just to, you know, just, they want you to give them your time, but they don't give you their time. So true friends, you know, who help one another and love one another. I thank you, Lord, for opening her up that dimension in Jesus' name and increasing her in that level and administering that, the friendship of Jesus. Jesus knew how to make people friends. You know, he drew friendship out of them. And it's hard to do out of people. You can't just do it. But by the Spirit, when it's done, it's a connection that is very rare. And Jesus could even draw friendship out of sinners. He could be friends with sinners because he knew how to draw that out of them Amen, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that anointing and blessing, Lord, Regina, God, in Jesus' name. All right, Sally from UK, London, thank you for that $13, Sally. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that, the fear of the Lord, the reverential fear and awe of God that is being manifest in the world, in the globe. And he is, you know, showing you how to recognize the fear and the reverence of God and the difference between that and the fear of people and the fear of men and the fear that men produce. Like when some people preach the gospel, they create human fear, you know, instead of godly fear. And those who preach the gospel, who preach godly fear, which brings you to in awe with God, when men's fear and preaching and teaching brings you to be afraid of God, you know, not really understanding God and misrepresenting him. So I thank you, God, in Jesus' name for that ability, Father, for her to recognize the fear of the Lord. Wherever the fear of the Lord is, that's where the blessing is, right? That's where the wisdom is. That's where the glory is. And if it's in, you know, you can have, you know, the fear of the Lord in somebody who's not really all that spiritual. You know, they can have great fear and awe of God. And where the fear of the Lord is, there's wisdom, and God's really opening you up to the wisdom realm, and the true fear and awe of God, which is truly amazing. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, thank you for that, and. Thank you. What a great word, Sally. Awesome. All right. Angela Lanham, $20. Thank you, Angela. And thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for the joy of the Lord. That when I kept hearing that scripture tonight again that we used in Matthew about, you know, the servants and God telling those servants that enter into the joy of the Lord, I kept, you know, I thought about you. I thought about, you know, the joy of the Lord and the pleasure God has in you and learning how to live in that pleasure and learning how to dwell in the pleasure of the Lord and, you know, learning how to, you know that pleasing him is everything. And pleasing him isn't, you know, under strict orders of the law, but obeying him is simply having a relationship with him. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, with the Lord, with the Father, you know, with God, you have a relationship with him. You talk. You're on speaking terms. He's, you know, the old Testament image of God is not the New Testament image of God. He broke down the wall of partition. You know, between God and man, he rent the veil that we don't have to have somebody to go before us. We come before him as his child. Now we're his children. Now we're his daughter. We're his son, and we come before him, and he's pleased with us. We are in a whole different relationship. Angela, and most people preach from the law. They preach from the law, and they don't know they're doing it. They don't mean to do it, but they do it, and they get our relationship with, well, you know, some people think God talks to them like every week, you know, and I kind of know what they mean by that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we're not supposed to have fellowship with Jesus every day. Give us this day my daily word, my daily information, my daily blessing, my daily talk, my daily, you know, understanding, you know, and they think talking to God and God talking to you is like some verbal conversation, when more it's he communicates through thoughts. When you go to heaven, most of the communication is through thoughts, you know, and so it's the same thing is when Jesus was in the earth, he knew people's thoughts. Why? Because he was a heavenly man. He knew how to communicate. So communication, God's really wanting to break down this whole thing about communication with you and him, that it is not under the law. We're different. You're his baby doll. You're his daughter, you know, and he loves you, and he loves to talk to you. He loves to visit. He loves to pray. He loves, you know, he loves to listen to you, you know, and he's not just, if you do one thing wrong, you know, I'm going to hold back a whole week. You're punished for a week. I'm not going to talk to you for a week. That's what most people think happens, and it doesn't. That's not it at all. We got the gospel all wrong. That's why people are cursed. You know, in other words, they don't have fellowship with Jesus. They don't have true fellowship with him. They're cursed because they got another gospel going on. They don't have the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all changed now. Everything's different. Now we have fellowship with him individually through the Holy Spirit, and he lives on the inside of us. It's no longer God, Moses, go talk to God for us. It's like all that is ended. It's over. We're his. He's ours. We're his. We're the love of his life. And God, I thank you for that joy of the Lord, God, that joy. And as she enjoys, you learned how to enjoy you. And you teach her the word of God, not just about the reverent, holy God, but the God who's your Father. You know, all of it, everything. We need to know what we talked tonight about God being a hard businessman, and he is. It says right there, you are a hard man. That's exactly the way God is as a businessman. In other words, he doesn't play around with business. But when you do right, he just you're going to rule big. You're going to have a massive amount of joy. Come on in. You know, but to those who don't obey, he's hard on them. Because he wants everybody to know, you know, when I give you something to do something, you know, and know that you have the ability to do it, and then you don't do it, knowing you have the ability to do it, and you don't do it, that's a whole different thing. You know, so he treats them, you know, and we're going, oh, my God, he'll have mercy on me if I, no, he won't. Not the business side of God. No, you sin, you fail, you come short. Oh, it's compassion, love, and mercy. He's there to, you know, he's sweet Jesus. But when it comes to business, whole different. I thank you, Lord, for her relationship part of you, God, in that joy and that fellowship and that break down those walls, God, in Jesus' name, in all your people, but especially in this word tonight with Angela, that you're breaking down all the walls. You're breaking them down, God. You're breaking them down to me. I know that. Hallelujah. It's amazing. It's all changed. Nobody should ever say, no preacher especially should ever say, well, those people that think they hear from God every day. You know what they're like. They're a little bit mental. And you're like, what are those people? Who are those people that's saying that? The preachers say that. Pretty creepy. Pretty creepy. Pretty creepy. Yeah. Man. No wonder they're cursed. You know? Yeah. No wonder they're not being blessed. And they're having to sell Jesus because they can't. You know, anyway. I'm not going to go there. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Tonight, God, I thank you for that $20. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for the vision realm, God, her dreams and visions, that you open up the vision realm to her, God, where she can see you the way you really are. She can see you. Sometimes a vision isn't always, you know, like an open vision. Open visions are, I've had one open vision in my whole life. It's very awesome. I saw Jesus standing there laughing. It was the most amazing thing. Never forget it. But sometimes vision is just like he plants thoughts and images in your mind. And, Lord, I thank you for planting, you know, it says we see with meekness the engrafted word, the images and of your word. When your word comes in, when somebody speaks words, it creates an image. If you talk to them about a certain color of a shirt and what kind of shirt it looks like, how many buttons it has and what the buttons look like, and the collar and the sleeves and the long sleeve or short sleeve, that image goes in your mind. So I thank you, Lord, for the images of Christ. Through your word, God, come and reveal the living Christ, the true living Christ, who he really is, that he really is a kind, gracious, loving shepherd. But at the same time, when he gives us responsibility to do things, he knows that he gives it to us because we have the ability to do it, and then we don't do it. We need to understand that's a part of God, too. We need the fullness of God, that you're teaching Paulette, God, about the fullness of you, everything about you, so she can live right and righteous. Righteous means not just not smoking and not chewing and not dipping and stripping. It means doing what God says. When we do what God says, of course we're not going to do that stuff. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Deborah and Mark, $24.08, $24.08, and that's Psalms 24.08. I haven't looked that up yet. Let's look that up and see what that says. All right. In a second, I love this. I love to see what scriptures people are talking about, man. This is really cool. What's going on here? Oh, there we go. All right, Psalms. Verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Oh, amen. All right. 24:08. Okay, that's Psalm 24:08. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I like the next one. Said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is that King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You know what, Deborah, I haven't heard that scripture in a long time. I mean, you know, I haven't read it in a while, but that I know of. That reminds me of a lot of things right there. Wow. Even says verse 7 before that, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? That's what I was just talking to Angela Lanham about, glory. She knows, but I mean, we're just opening up this thing. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're battling to win the hearts and souls of people. God, I thank you for Deborah and John, Deborah and Mark, God, Deborah and Mark from Washington, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening them, that you're glory inside them, God, to do the warfare and do the battle, God, and to take away all unnecessary wars and all unnecessary battles, things that are done out of ignorance, things that we've all do out of ignorance or not knowing, you know, that we, you know, how to deal with things. We thank you, Jesus, that every DNA thing that tries to hinder and mess up and you know, create just natural issues just in our DNAs, conflicting with one another. And I thank you, Lord, that those conflicts are settled by the blood of Jesus over Deborah, Father, over Mark. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed one, the holy one, the glorious one, the King of glory, God, that you are reversing curses. You are reversing curses. Curses, not just the devil's curses, but curses where we've cursed ourselves by not believing the word of God correctly, right? Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm working on this. God and I are working on this big time, where I've opened myself up to, you know, not being blessed or not being protected or not being, you know, covered and protected by God in that way, because the gospel I believe. And, you know, Paul says, if you believe any of the gospel what I preach, let them be accursed, because that's what happens. When you preach Jesus in a way that he's not, or the gospel in the way that it's not, then it opens you up to that part of your life not being protected or kept or blessed. So I thank you, Jesus, for the names of God that you've spoken to about Deborah and Mark, God, the names of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, and that you are our offspring. We are your offspring. I read that in Acts tonight. I read that in Acts. I was listening to that as I was walking around before I came to the show. And it told me, and Paul was talking to some group, and he said, don't you not know that we are the offspring of God? I love that, man. We are the offspring of God. Yeah, we are the offspring. God, I thank you that Deborah and Mark are the offspring of God Almighty. As they have his blood. They have his DNA. They have his glory inside them, dear Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that out of their mouth is going to come the rivers of living water that are going to water and nurture people. They're going to save people. We save people by ministering the word of God to them. We save them. They may already be born again, but we can save them from poverty by preaching to them that Jesus Christ will bless them. And I thank you, Lord, for rescuing them, because you're the rescuer. That's part of the gospel, is a rescuer and the protector. Now, that you will bring on their enemies and on those things that try to, you know, destroy them. God, that they are blessed and highly favored of you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And every contradiction to the word of God that tries to come at them, in Jesus' name, the battle is on. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let victory be wrought, God, in every way, not just some ways, not two or three ways, but in every way in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra tonight, God. We thank you for $25. Thank you, Sandra, for that, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for her life, God. We thank you for the victory, Lord, at her and her husband, Robert. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that the fire of God, the fire brand, whatever that is, the fire brand, like God's branding things, like when God, once God, fire brand. I know I used to brand cattle. We used to, you know, put our brand on cattle years ago. My dad, you know, I hated it because I feel sorry for the cows, you know, the poor, you know, on their rear end or wherever we did it. Oh my gosh. But in the smell, it's like horrible. But they were marked, man. And once they were, it was like almost like a legal thing. Like if somebody got caught with our cattle, it had our brand on there. And I thank you, Lord, that everything that you put in and that you have for Sandra has your brand and their brand on it. And their brand is on that. Nobody can take it. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can move it. It's theirs. It's branded on there from God, by God, by the hot iron of his hot brand in Jesus' name. And they are the brand, like, you know, a brand like a type of, equipment or the brand of it. I thank you, Lord, that your brand, you've branded what belongs to them, God. And anybody tries to steal it, they have to return 100-fold in Jesus' name, or 7-fold, or whatever it is. There are many different ways to say that. In Jesus' name, complete return, complete restoration in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Nikki and Charles, $25 for Christian and Joshua. Pray for Christian and Joshua. And I know Charles may still be in Africa, I think, on a servant. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord, for Christian and Joshua, their children, grandchild and son, Joshua. Thank you, Lord, just bless Joshua, God. We thank you, Father, for just letting him come head-to-head with Jesus and his love in Jesus' name. And let Jesus just look right into his eyes and say, you know what, Joshua, I love you. You are mine. You belong to me. And I will always love you, and I love you. And just because I hate things, some of the things that you've done, that you do, it's not just you. I hate all evil, all sin, because of what it does to you. I don't hate. That's why I hate what it does to you, and hate it because what it does to you, that it destroys you. No, I love you, saith the Lord. You are mine. I love you. I am making you. I am creating you. I have created you, and I will. What I have started, I will finish, and it will be done in love and strength. You're going to know my love. You're going to know my strength in Jesus' name. All right, Christian, grandchild, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Christian. Thank you, Lord, for touching him, God. We thank you, Jesus, that his mind, that in his mind is you're unlocking and equipping him, unlocking and equipping him with not just the gospel, but with life, with victory, with the spirit of a man. You've given him the spirit of a man to be blessed and to be a man of strength and a man of favor, Father, in Jesus' name, that he will walk in the favor of the Lord, because he will understand that it's not just about what he has done, but it's about what Jesus has done, that he will trust in what Jesus has done for him. That's what he will trust in. He will not trust in himself, but he will trust in the Lord God. Hallelujah, and be blessed and know that God has chosen him, not because he's perfect at everything right or done anything right. It's because he says, I love you. You are mine. And I have chosen you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And for Charles and Nikki, thank you, Lord, for Charles. Lord, we just bless him. And God, as he's in his place, I think he's having trouble with his tongue or something, or his mouth, not being able to eat or whatever. Just drink soup. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes that you drink the water in those places. You're not going to just need your mouth blessed. You're going to need the other end taken care of too, because it messes you up. I don't know if he's having that or not, but we just thank you, Lord, that you protect him. I was always protected from that, thank God. I don't even know how, but a lot of people drink the water, and, man, it would just mess up. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping him and protecting him, God, and blessing him and healing him, touching him. Lord, let him find compassion, Father, in a new way. As he's in that place, God, let a new compassion rise up within him, Father, in Jesus' name, for the poor and the needy. And, in Jesus' name. All right. And for Nikki, God, I think for a new level of faith in her life, God, a new level of faith, a new level of strength, a new level of glory, a new level of power, Father, in Jesus' name, subjecting herself to the river of God, to the river of his authority, to the river of his power, to the river of information. River is not just authority and power. It is also information. Information comes with, you know, words from God come with authority. When you speak those words, they have authority in them. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for the words. And it must be the word of God by the mouth of God, not just something we pick and choose, as you know. We talk about that all the time. It's the word of God that's been quickened by the Holy Ghost. That's where the authority is. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her that more and more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tanisha, $26. Thank you, Tanisha. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless her, God, and confirm her, God, and show her, God, more and more all the time that you are, you've chosen her for freedom. She's been called to be liberated and to liberate others. she's been called, and she has a righteous anger in her about freedom and liberty. And I thank you, Lord, for that, that reigns inside of her in Jesus' name. And she will help those who look for that and need that, that they will know that their Lord, the truth shall set you free. Amen. The truth shall set you free. And I thank the Lord, and free indeed. And I thank you, Jesus, for that spirit of freedom and that her love for freedom, her love for victory in Jesus' name, and the spirit of freedom and the spirit of truth to liberate people from the spirit of bondage and slavery in Jesus' name, and move them into the spirit of liberty and power, knowing that God is on their side. And when he's on your side, you're free. You don't have to worry about nothing. People come against you, he's going to protect you. You know, sometimes God does let us suffer, but he shows us in that suffering that he takes that suffering and turns it into glory. Amen. In Jesus' name. Not everything's always perfect. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for that. All right, Valerie, $40. Thank you, Valerie, for that $40. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. And hang on a second here. All right. Okay. I thought I was going on there. All right, Valerie, $40. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of true compassion, Father, where we have true compassion. True compassion is like sometimes people who walk in, you know, rebellion against God and want us to approve of them, approve of that rebellion. In other words, they want us to approve of rebellion. And God is showing you that we don't have compassion on the rebellion, but compassion on the person. And God really showing you how to have compassion on the person instead of the thing, right? In other words, I don't agree with your thing, but I have compassion on you, and showing you the difference and how important it is to do that. Because when we compromise with the rebellion, that's obviously not in the Word of God, then it compromises us and opens up the door to us. So I thank you, Jesus, for true compassion and valor, God. You move her with compassion. And when she's moved with compassion, you lead her and guide her by true compassion. And true compassion always leads you to victory, because true compassion allows God to move and change something or move upon something, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the victory, Father, for bringing her that person in her life, God, to add to her life, that significant other in her life, God. In Jesus' name, and prepare her and show her, God, the ways of truth and love in Jesus' name, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Word of God. Lord, that you called her to understand the Word so she can minister that Word and give that Word to others when they need it, so she can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In Jesus' name, and an anointing, God, to be able to, know right from wrong, what's the Holy Spirit and what's not the Holy Spirit, right? And know quickly and go and rightly divide the word of truth in Jesus' name. And amen. Father, there's something going on with you about that. That's really cool. God really seems like to me, I'm hearing the Lord say he's wanting to show you or showing you, true compassion. That's an amazing word, because I understand true compassion. Fake compassion, phony compassion has compassion on sin and not just on the sinner, right? We have a compassion on sinners, not on sin. And Jesus' compassion hates sin and loves the sinner. It hates the sickness and disease that's trying to destroy them, but loves them. You see what I'm saying? So that's a big thing that I'm hearing the Lord say about rightly dividing the word of truth and that kind of thing. So something's going on there with God perfecting you and opening you up to that. That's pretty cool, and an anointing for that. That's really awesome. So thank God for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Carmen, $80. Thank you, Carmen. $8. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom, God, and liberty you've given her to proclaim liberty and the year of the Lord, the liberty, the year of the Lord, to give people eyes on the year of the Lord. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but to proclaim the year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, and all that. There's a scripture, I don't know if it's Isaiah where that's at exactly, but to declare the year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God. In other words, there's going to come a time where God's going to vindicate his people. We don't have to vindicate ourselves. He will vindicate us. He will vindicate us eventually. And so even in the book of Revelation, Carmen, as you probably know, is that even the martyrs were saying, crying out for vengeance. God, when are you going to vindicate us? You know, so we know that if they're doing that in heaven, that it's not all bad, right? Vindication is a God thing. And people need to learn that, what true vindication is and what it's for and what it's all about. Amen. So they won't try to vindicate themselves. Amen. And know that God will do it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, period. And because God is not mocked. And people mock God all the time, and they just don't know it. I had someone fill out the Venmo thing, and I think they got it done, as far as I know. Someone got it for me, so thank you for that. I had to fill out a little bit of it, but thank God I had some help there. Okay, yeah. So just tell me what info I need on that, and we'll see what happens. I'll check on it and see if they got it done. If they got it done, if they did, then yeah. I think they got it loaded on a device here. It shows up on my phone now, so whatever that means. I don't know. Okay. Well, at least I'm learned about it, so I got somebody else doing that for me. All right. Thank you for that. All right, cool. Cash App is good. Oh, there you go. Gotcha. All right, wonderful. Carmen, so that vindication of the Lord God, I think what God's trying to do sounds like to me is sometimes we need someone who's not afraid to share the truth about things, you know, with a compassionate heart. Is that, you know, like people say, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You know, God's going to he will bring vengeance someday, vindication. He will vindicate all those who, you know, there's going to come justice. And when we teach that and preach that, it helps people not to take, you know, vengeance themselves and try to take things in control, you know, themselves. In other words, they trust God because they know God's going to take care of it and that it all will happen. God will take care of it. And anything people don't get right God's way, God will deal with it. He's a just God, and he will vindicate. And so I can't think of what that scripture is. It talks about the day of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance. Is that? Oh, that's I just thought about what that said. That's pretty cool. Hang on a second. That's Isaiah. Yeah, that's Isaiah 61. Oh, that's Isaiah 61. That's really cool. Amen. Here it is right here. I just found it. Okay, now I'm getting this. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We all love that part. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's wonderful. To proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and day of God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console the mourners in Zion, to give them the crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of despair or heaviness. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow. I didn't realize it was Isaiah 61 when I heard that. Awesome. So thank you, Lord, for Carmen, for that, Jesus, and for blessing her with that, for opening her up to that, God. And Isaiah 61, in Jesus' name, let it be done, let it be told, let it be shared from the mountaintops, from the housetops, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Isaiah 61. That's when Jesus, you know, came on the scene right there. So God, let Carmen's, let her life, let those things you called her to do come on the scene. And Jesus, let Christ rise up within her in Jesus' name and come on the scene and to deliver and do his job. Amen. The full counsel of God Almighty. All right, Mike and Veronica did send Cash App. Thank you for that. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And Okay, give me a second here. All right. Mike and Veronica, $60. Thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to bless, to convey your truth to them, Father. You call them the truth, not just the truth seekers, but the truth finders, to find the truth, looking for the truth, searching for the truth like a treasure, like I see you guys finding, like, you know, I'm thinking of a scripture where it talks about that the man knew there was a pearl of great price on this property, so he took everything he, you know, everything he owned, sold it, whatever, and purchased it because he knew it was, you know, for that one thing, for the treasure that was there. And I thank you, Lord, for showing them the treasures. I know they're in Colorado. They were talking about coming to Texas, but they decided that God called them to stay there. So whatever, that's awesome. I love it. I think because Colorado is definitely have blessings in it, no doubt. And they will find that treasured land, that treasured property, Father, and that place, and they will, you know, do as the scripture says, they will realize the treasure in it, and they will sell everything they have to buy that one thing, that one place, that open them up. God, where they will have the finances, they will have the ability and the favor to do it, God, that it is time, that property, that time, it is time for that. In Jesus' name, that season is there, that you will see it and you will know it. God's opening your eyes to it, to show it to you. In the name of the Lord, God, hallelujah, open up, open up, open up, open up your favor. Open up those doors. And we heard early in the scripture that I think Deborah and Mark talking about the king, so the King of Glory can come in. Oh, the everlasting doors. What was that? Psalms. Yes. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up your everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. The glory land, the glory place. But who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the rivers and for the treasure, God. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be opened up. For them, let them see it, know it, and open up the gate, open up the door in the name of Jesus, so the King of Glory can come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the King of Glory can come in. Wow, awesome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what I keep hearing to say. When you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, then you shall be blessed. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Hallelujah. All right. Terrence just sent $20. Thank you, Terrence. That 20, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for confirmation, for bearing witness. That God, you've given him a spirit to bear witness to the will of God, to the purposes of God. And Lord, that ability to bear witness, the Bible says, let everything, let the things that you hear from God bear witness with you. And some people don't even know what bearing witness means. They think it just means stuff you already know. But it doesn't have to be stuff you know. It could be anything. If it bears witness, like we have some really great, deep things within our spirit, man, that we don't even know about yet. And somebody comes along or says something, does something, whatever, and it, like something in you leaks, like John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when Mary, Jesus' mother and them came together, and he leaped in the womb, right? Like that he bore witness. Even though he couldn't see him, he bore witness. Yeah, those things that are deep inside you by the Holy Ghost, and she's saying that the gospel of Christ, the blessed gospel, not the cursed gospel. Paul said, anybody preaching the gospel, what I preach, it doesn't be a curse. The blessed gospel of Jesus Christ, Father, in Jesus' name, that he leaps in the womb. There's something in him that leaps. The John the Baptist in him leaps up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, to receive that witness, that he will bear witness in his spirit. Even if his intellectual mind doesn't always understand it all, his soul, his spirit, man, his soul will bear witness. That is God. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I hear it, and I believe it. In the name of, let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Chris, $100. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the farmer in you that learns how to plant seed, not just in the natural realm, not just in the natural realm farmer, but the spiritual farmer in you know how to plant seed. How to, you know, in good land and good property and good dirt, I should say, and good dirt, and learn how to, you know, learning how to plant seed in good, because we plant our seed in the wrong, you know, if you throw a seed on the concrete, it's not going to do anything. It's going to sit there and not bear any fruit. But you plant it in good soil, where there's not a bunch of rocks, where there's not a bunch of problems, where there's not a bunch of, you know, wrong doctrines and wrong belief systems and wrong stuff going on, that people are not living, the ministers are not living, you know, wherever, when God has you plant your seed, that you plant it in good soil, and God's really teaching you about being a farmer for God and how to plant, how to water, how to take care of. I was a farmer, you know, I farmed for my dad, you know, I did everything myself. He told me what to do. I didn't always know what to do because I was young and didn't know much about farming, but he would tell me what to do and I would do it, right? You're going to plow this land, you're going to go that way with it. You're going to plant rows of corn right over here, you're going to plant wheat over here, and you're going to water it this way and dig a ditch there and, you know, lay the pipe over. He told me what to do, and I just did it, and I loved it. And so there's a farmer inside of us. There's a farmer inside of me, farmer inside of you that is born of God to produce fruit, lots of fruit for the kingdom of God. And it's just real simple. If you're a farmer, you know, man, you plant the seed right in the right soil, and that soil has been, like, we would deep break the soil, you know, turn it over deep, and then we would, you know, level it out and then make rows and then, you know, plant it and, you know, the whole thing. Water it. It's really easy. It's really simple if you know what you do. It's a lot of work, but it's really simple. And it produces a lot of fruit. You plant, you know, one seed in the ground, it produces, you know, a lot more. So I thank you, Lord, for that. The farmer in Christ, God. Just how easy, when you understand farming, and you know, now I didn't understand, my dad did. He had everything. So he set the, how deep you plant it, this on the planter, you know, he knew how to do it. And he would check it, and he would look, and he would show me what to do, and I would do it. And so I thank you, Jesus, that it was simple when you know how to do it. Simple. But people who don't know how, they never can grow a crop because they just never quite do it right. But God is teaching you how to sow into the kingdom and water and fertilize and take care of things and grow things. It's just really simple. And I thank you, Lord, for that blessing in his life in Jesus' name for the kingdom of God. Amen. And Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for Noel, that you're causing her to believe. You know, we all have that thing in us where we believe but help our unbelief. Our spirit man believes and knows that God's going to do stuff, right? And we have that. Some people can't figure that out. How come there's a part of me that just knows God's going to do it, and yet I struggle down here? Because our soul has to see it. Our soul is a whole different thing. Our spirit man is totally recreated in the image of the likeness of Christ and seated with Christ in heaven's place. How could he not believe? Right, he just automatically, he knows something's coming. You feel it. Something's coming. I can feel it. But our soul goes, but where? But how? But when? And that's normal. That's not carnal. That's normal. And so I thank you, Lord, for showing Noelle, her feelings and her emotions, how normal they are, how of God they are. But to understand it, instead of letting the devil condemn us and saying, yeah, you know, because you don't believe this, you don't believe that, you know, you just know, you know. No, because your soul is a part of you who needs to see. I believe, your spirit man believes, but help my unbelief. Unbelief isn't like, you know, a carnal unbelieving person. Unbelief is like, not, in a godly sense, is like, okay, God, you know, I want to believe, just show me. And what does he do? He starts showing you. He starts opening you up. Your spirit man believes. Your spirit man knows. He's telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Here it is. Here it goes. Here it goes. But your soul's like going, oh, God, where at? How am I going to do it? What am I gonna... Right? That's what happens to me all the time. I'm going, God, if you don't show... So it causes you to humble yourself before God and cry out to him. And then watch him answer you. Watch him speak his word into your soul and engraft it into your soul. Because when he engrafts something inside there, it's in there, girl. It's there. He engrafts it. He's not the kind of surgeon who messes up on a graft. He puts it in there perfectly. It fits you. And pretty soon, that graft goes from being from him, from his body, into your body. And, like, all of a sudden, he becomes your thoughts become his thoughts. And it's not something you're trying to do. It's something – it's who you are. And that's why you believe, but help my unbelief. So when he shows you, you go, oh, my Lord and my God, you are awesome, Jesus, because it becomes you, that grafting. From him, you're his flesh. First, it's his flesh on yours, and then it becomes, ooh, your flesh. Yeah. In Jesus' name, open and show her, God, all the normalities that she has. I mean, they're just regular stuff. That's just the way the gospel talks about that. The word of God talks about that. But she will recognize it and quit listening to, you know, that I'm really not that great of a this and the great of that. You know, but thank you, Lord, that I'm a normal, godly, God-fearing Christian who go through the normal process, and I'm on my way to victory in Jesus' name because I understand. I have understanding of how this stuff works. Therefore, I'm not going to waste time thinking I'm not spiritual enough or I don't have this and I don't have that. Now, all things are possible with God. And my soul does understand it, so it has to have the word engrafted. And once it gets in there, then it's like, yeah, 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 I bear witness. I bear witness. I bear witness. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a normal process. I believe, but help my unbelief. Our spirit man knows. Our knower knows, but our soul finds out. Our knower knows, our soul finds out. Amen. It's a process. It's a godly process, the way God has it. Amen. If people get a hold of that, it'll change a whole lot. Donald and Tanya, $165. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for your favor on them, Father. I thank you, Lord, for giving them understanding, Father. For Donald, giving him favor and that you called him to a new frontier. We're in a new season, a new time. We're going to think different. Well, and the only way we can think different is if God shows us. If God doesn't show us, man, if God doesn't show me, I'm just like everybody else. I'm as dumb as a calf and at a gate. I'm going, you know, I don't know anything. Nobody does. When it comes to God's stuff, you may have intellectual information about the world, but to know from God, you have to have God show you. So I thank you, Lord, that Donald is humbling himself, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted in due season. And thank you, Lord, that you take us through that thing of true humility. And you know, you're always bringing Randy Chandler to that place of true humility. I think I understand humility, and God says, you don't understand humility. Here's humility, and I find myself, wow, my gosh. And as soon as I'm finding myself walking in true humility, knowing that I don't know, knowing that without him it's impossible, and that true humility is inside me, there's a deep knowing that I'm going to be, he's going to exalt me in due season. I just have this feeling. I just have this knowing. Therefore, I hope in that. I dwell in that. I look at that. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. I'm humbling myself. And when you humble yourself, he said, I will exalt you in due season. And that sense of humbling yourself creates that passion of knowing that we don't know when exactly, we know how, but it's going to be, that due season is up in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God, for blessing Tanya with that the fear, the reverential awe and fear of God. That any fears that she has, we all have fears. Everybody has fears. Some people fear things more than others because of childhood things or mistakes they've made or failures they've had. They haven't dealt with it quite yet. But we all have fears. Everybody has fears. Some fears are worse than others. And I thank you, Lord, that the natural fears that she has, God, she's learning how to give those natural fears that are human over to the fear and reverential awe of God. In Jesus' name, hand them over. Cast them. Cast your care. Cast your care. What's care? Care is anxiety. Anxiety is a thing in us that's natural fears. Because we live in a natural world, you know, we could fail, we could go down, things could happen. Yeah, exactly, and that's true. It is true. But you know what? The reverential fear and awe of God, when we cast that fear upon the reverential fear and awe of God, it's like we realize, you know, all things are possible. I know God is going to come through. I know. I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know what's happening. But God, the reverential fear and awe of God, how could I not trust you? Oh, God, even if you don't deliver me, I will serve you. I will praise you. I will not bow down to the enemy. Amen. Because I'm a servant of God who has reverential awe and fear of the Lord God inside me. And therefore I shall never fail. Because he will not let me fail in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Daniel 177:77. Thank you, Daniel, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for that the splendor. God, you showed him your splendor. I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm not sure what splendor means. I kind of know what splendor means, but you know, I want to make sure I get it right here. Let me look at that. Hang on a second, please. Give me just a moment. Give me a moment. I'm using splendor. Meaning of splendor. Here we go. All right, meaning of splendor. Just looking it up, bro. That's all I know to do. Magnificent and splendid appearance. Grandeur, the splendor of the Florida Keys. Okay. Magnificent features or qualities. Plural nouns, splendors,
scroll down. The splendors of the imperial court. Yeah, it's like I see the Lord really just bringing you the magnificence of God, magnificent and splendor appearance. You know, like you've seen the magnificence of God and of His appearance and the grandeur of God. Right? Yeah, and the grandeur. I want to look up that word grandeur also. Okay, here we go. All right, the splendor of the grandeur also means splendor. The splendor and impressiveness, especially of appearance or style. Okay, let's look at this definition of grandeur. I'm looking up the definition of grandeur in the dictionary here. All right, you know, the quality or state of being impressive or awesome, the grandeur of the Rocky Mountains. Okay, so it's kind of like God showing you His splendor and His awe. And in the state of being, the impressiveness of God, the awesomeness of God, to show you how He leads and guides. He's kind of been doing, I've noticed, I know here in PGN what little bit I know about, you know, and the words God's been giving you over the last, several months. He's been really showing you, you know, like the time the suicide thing with that guy that you were dealing with, that situation. Remember that one? And then several other things. I can remember all what they were, but it's like God is trying to really draw you into the grandeur of God, the splendor, how beautiful, how He knows things, how He, you know, He's watching over you, and how beautiful that He is, how glorious that He is. To be impressed, you know, it says right here, the quality of state of being impressive. Like God is, can you imagine God trying to impress us, you know? I mean, that's what He does. Yeah, let me see what I can do to impress Daniel. Let's see, what can we do? Oh, yeah. Tell him about the guy that's committed suicide. I know about that. Tell him that, you know, and you'd already helped him, I think, in those things before that word came. So it's kind of, it was all amazing, you know, the splendor of God. I'm just showing you His. He was trying to impress you, you know. And Randy doesn't know anything. Randy's like, you know, I don't know anything about going on, what's going on. Nobody knew that stuff. Only you and God. And God's saying, I'm going to show Daniel my splendor. I'm going to show him. I'm going to impress him. I want to impress Daniel. I want to show him how impressive I am in so many different ways. And so God wants to show you His. He wants to impress you. Right? It's like He's going out of His way. Like Jesus went out of His way to impress the disciples. Like, yeah, watch this. You know, and he'd put mud on a guy's eye. And just he'd probably look at them and see how they're going to react to this stuff. And then when the eyeballs came into the guy's eye, he'd looking at them going, yeah, I like that. Isn't that impressive? That's our Father. Yeah, He's working, man. And so he got their attention. He showed them, yeah, really, I am who I say I am. You know, He impresses us with His glory. And I thank the Lord for that with Daniel in Jesus' name, and showing him Your glory, showing, impress him, God. Make an impressive, your impression upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jeannie, $250. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie, Father. I thank you for confirming to him, God, her God, that the land, the property, the whole thing. It's not just a property thing or a land thing, but it is called a dwelling place of glory. I see you just, I don't know what, the dwelling place of God's glory. You know, the open heaven of God, the glory place. And it's not that like it just automatically happens. It's like it's the process of you, you know, God developing that and opening your eyes to it and, you know, taking communion and, you know, saying, God, open my eyes to show me Your open. Show me how to activate. Show me how to enter in. Show me how to see it. But we talked with someone earlier. I mean, who was that? That was Angela Joy. About the scenery, you know. So scenery is beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? So when you behold something, when you behold the Lamb of God on your, you know, like, oh my God, you know, I mean, I knew we were blessed, but wow, this is amazing. So God's opening up your eyes to show you, you know, as he opens our eyes, we see the blessing that's already there. Like when Jesus was walking with on the road to Emmaus, you know,
he was right there with them. And they were talking about, yeah, but where you been, man? You didn't know that Jesus died already? We thought the Savior was here, the Messiah, and then they killed him. And, you know, like, you know, you don't know anything about that. It was Jesus the whole time, right? He was right there. He was right there the whole time. But they couldn't see him when they broke bed. Of course, they could see. So all of a sudden, it's like, I see you, you know, God, open your eyes, you know, showing you the splendor and the glory and the awesomeness and the open heaven God has over you in Jesus' name and your property and the whole thing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Open her eyes, God. Show her how to, because once you see it, once you know it, then, you know, things just begin to happen because you become open to it, not just because you're doing it by faith. No, but because you've literally seen it in your spirit. You've literally seen it. Now, when they saw it, when they finally had their eyes open, when they ate that bread with Jesus, not knowing it was him, and all of a sudden, oh, that's Jesus. They couldn't see, and all of a sudden they could see. He was there the whole time. It's like all of our blessings are there around us, and we don't see it. You know, we kind of know by faith that it's there, and God said it. Yeah, so I believe it. But there's a part of us that goes like, you know, there's got to be more to this thing. So God opened my eyes to eat the bread, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, my gosh, there he is. It is Jesus. It is the Lord. It is blessed. And I thank you, Lord, for that and that whole realm, God, in Jesus' name. Show her how to activate it, how to walk in it, in Jesus' name, and how to see it. Amen. All right, Nicole. $514.38. Thank you, Nicole. Two different times on that. Thank you for your tithe and your offering. Nicole always puts her tithe, what's her tithe, what's her offering on there. Thank you for that. Some people do it, some people don't. It's up to everybody, whatever you do. That's your thing. But thank you, Lord, for Nicole, Jesus, for opening her eyes, God, and showing her, God, the ways of God. Because once you understand the ways of God, once God opens up our eyes to the ways of God, not just one area of the ways of God, but generally speaking, the ways of God. So if I need to know, the reason Jesus could never be tripped up by highly intellectual people who knew the law, who were much older than him and been, you know, of course, much older than him. He's always been, but like he was 30, they were like 50, 60. They've been in the law for years and they, you know, studied Moses, and they would come up and ask him questions that they knew nobody could answer those questions. And yeah, it was just simple. Yeah, yeah. Give the Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give the God what belongs to God. Go, what? You know, because he was the way of the Father, but he understood the ways of God. So when anything was asked him, any problem was brought to him, he knew the ways of God. He could answer it, or he could, you know, find a way to understand what was happening. This, and all you're getting, get understanding. He could understand because he understood the ways of God, right? Like even more than Moses. Moses knew the ways of God. Much more Christ. You know, I think that he said Solomon was great, but there's one greater than Solomon here. Why? The wisdom of Solomon was great. But Jesus walked in a wisdom that was totally, fully open, 100-fold understanding to the ways of God. And God is drawing you into this. He's sucking you in, man, with the ways of God. The hundredfold, you know, you're one of the few who responded to me years ago. I started talking about 3,600-fold understanding. You really caught a hold of that, and of course the movie I talked about and all that. And God was opening it up to you. That's because you're drawn to that, because that's what God's going to do in you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless God, bless, and recover all, God. There, everything's been stolen and robbed from her. God be restored and recovered in Jesus' name. Marriage, family, husband, children, the whole thing. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, Father. Let it be done in Jesus' name. No good thing is withheld from you. That's the scripture I'm getting. No good thing is withheld from you. Okay. Oh, wow. This is Daniel. Daniel just sent this text to me just now. You hear my phone go ding. It says, Prophet Randy, this is Daniel from my work phone. On my return trip from a very rough, long week in Lawton, Oklahoma, I got on the highway, and a perfect white dove was right in front of my car, like leading me, truly directly in front of me. In front of my car, and I know that he was telling me that the long week was done and he was with me. He would have he would have heard. You would have had to be in the car to know how totally out of ordinary this was. It blew me away. Amen. Well, you know, I don't know if you just listened to the word that we gave you, Daniel, but it was about God's going to show you his splendor and his glory, right? Is that why you texted me that? Did you hear that word tonight or something? I don't understand. I'm not connecting on. Are you responding from oh, okay, you did. Oh, awesome. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. So here I am giving you this word. God's showing you his, what, his grandeur and splendor and all that, whatever those words were. I can't remember now, but let's go back and go back. And yeah, the splendors of God, the magnificence of God, right? Dude, that is amazing. That truly is what God's doing with you, bro. That is truly amazing. Congratulations on that. That is absolutely beautiful, bro. And, yeah, that is amazing. He has a white dove, a literal white dove, a perfect white dove, was right in front of my car, like leading me, Daniel says, truly directly in front of my car. Are you trying to say, you understand, truly directly in front of my car, and I know that he was telling me that a long week was done and he was with me. You would have had to be in my car to know how totally out of the ordinary this was. It blew me away. Amen. It says the prayer thing. And he says he did hear the word. All right. Well, that is mind-boggling, bro. That just tells you guys, these words, man, these words are, like, amazing, man. I mean, you know, God is amazing. You know, I don't know anything. You guys know I know that. You know I don't know anything. You know I don't know anything. I don't know anything about anything. If he doesn't show me about people and stuff, I know nothing. So, you know, that's truly amazing. Yeah, truly amazing. Let's see, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah. Angela Lanham says, pray for car and auto business. Oh, okay. Thank the Lord for Angela Lanham. God, I didn't see your text, Angela. I apologize. I didn't catch it. Sometimes things ding on my text. Sometimes they don't. It's way beyond me why it does that. But I miss a lot of people's text because it doesn't ding. When Daniel just texts me, it dang. When Daniel texts me, it dang. It dinged. It sounded like a Texas boy. It dinged. But sometimes they don't ding. I don't know what the difference is. But anyway, Angela, gotcha. So we thank you, Lord, for car and auto, Father. In Jesus' name, bless it. Auto blessings, bring in the auto blessings, God. Automatic blessings, bring in the automatic blessings. Let everything automatic. Let it be like it's automatic, like it's auto, like drawing, like you're drawing in, you're blessing and drawing in, and drawing her into that a new place, God, a new place, a new dwelling place. You're drawing Angela Lanham into a new drawing place, how to draw from God, how to draw from his glory, how to draw from his spirit. Amen, and how to be blessed and how to receive that favor. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, bless God. And amen. Okay, let's go here. Okay. Hang on just a second here. Shannon, $12. Thank you, Shannon, for that. No, I see no. Okay. You're welcome, Noel. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for giving. Thank you for your love for PGN. There's no memo on your offering there, whatever you're doing, offering, tithe, offering, whatever it is. Yeah, so thank you, Shannon. Well, at least thank you, Lord, for lifting up his head. God, I thank you for this. You know, Deborah and Mark sent in this scripture, and I think, you know, I'm thinking about you, Shannon, as I it's Psalms 24, verse 8, I believe, 24, yeah, 24, verse 8. You might read the whole thing. The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness of it. Verse 1, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. This is the awesomeness of God. That's what I love about this scripture. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Verse 7. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, O ye Shannon gates, the Shannon gates, and lifted and be lifted up in ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. This is Shannon. The Lord strong and mighty, man. The Lord mighty in battle. Can I believe this stuff? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye Shannon. Amen. Lift up your gates, O ye gates, Shannon gates, and lift up your everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in into your atmosphere, into your house, into your home, into your mind, into your brain, your business, and your car, and your truck, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. We give you the King glory. We give the King honor. We give the King praise. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your everlasting door, Shannon, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. And who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name, Shannon. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. I'm telling y'all, I am so upset with the shepherds that are telling God's people to repent when they need to repent, merchandising ways. I'm telling you, I feel like God is getting ready to do something really with this thing. I don't know. I don't have no date. I don't have no timing. Well, I do have some dates. I can't lie. I do have some dates. Things I can't talk about yet. But, God is my witness. I speak the truth. I don't exaggerate or lie or say information used to be saying. I really do have timing on some of these things. And so it's going to be devastating. That's why telling the truth and talking about this, like we have, belaboring over it a lot, is important. So they will be held totally accountable for it. And they cannot say, well, I didn't know. No, they knew. They know, they knew, and that's it. And it's going to be a devastating time. And God's going to set up a whole new people. He's going to set up his real kingdom on earth, on earth to his people. Huh. And some people are going to be blown away by what God does. Devastating to the devil. Amen. And to his kingdom, to those who preach to have blamed the sheep. What if the sheep, why don't the priests get right with God? That's what I say when I heard some guys on TV tonight saying this stuff. And, Lance Walnut, you need to get right with God. I said, man, dude, you need to get right with God. You know, you're a priest and you're selling merchandise. You need to get right with God. And that's what I tell them right there to their face on TV. I do. I get upset and tell them, you need to get right with God. Blaming the sheep for your cheap shots. I mean, that's really how I feel about doing that. No exaggeration at all. It's a full passionate thing in me, and I despise it. And because it's the Holy Spirit in me that does it, really, truly. And it's a firebrand, man. I'm telling you, it's a firebrand from heaven. No doubt about it. All right, y'all, I think that's it for tonight. As far as I can see, thank you for everything. Thanks for being a blessing. And we are, believing God for, more information, more, things about the red heifers, all that. We're believing God for all that. I mean, I don't know exactly how he's going to do all of it, but he's going to do it. Oh, Andrika. I didn't see Andrika gave. Oh, my gosh. Andrika, I almost missed you, girl. How did I do that? I don't know. All right. Andrika, I'm so glad I usually look before I move on, but thank you, Lord, for that $100. And thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing there, God. Hang on a second. All right. Yeah, oh, okay. That's okay. You literally just woke up. Literally, really. That just shows you. Andrika says, and I just went to check and to make sure everything, I got everything, and I saw, oh, my gosh, Andrika gave. And it's literally, as I was saying her name, she says, I just woke up. I think that's what she said. I think she said, I just woke up. Let me make sure it's right. You are funny. You are literally funny. I fell asleep and literally just woke up and gave. Oh, bless your heart. You must have needed it. It's funny. You are funny. I don't know why you're funny to me. I just laugh when I think about you, your character. Ever since that thing with your dog, you know, I would never forget that, man. That was mind-boggling. I was just, you just put me in a whole different mode. I go, oh, my God. No wonder I kept saying, like a dog, like a dog. They want your dog. Oh, that is just too much. Ever since then, I saw you in a different light. Literally, I did. I saw you in a different light. It was funny. Okay, Andrika, now you got me laughing, so this is hilarious. I guess I needed it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, ESW Auto Sales, $50. Thank you, Lord, for blessing that. In Jesus' name, thank you for making new, God, and increasing and multiplying and opening up the way, what it seemed to be in a way, God. Open up your ways to her. In Jesus' name, and making things light-hearted and lighten the burden, God, and in Jesus' name, and open up the way, God, where there seems to be no way with that, in the name of Jesus, bring favor, in Jesus' name, and blessing and increase and multiplication. Hallelujah, let her transfer, let her move with the moving of God. You know, we're about to see a whole new system change, but you know, I have a feeling that a lot of the old cars are going to come back and be used, you know, and of course the new cars too, but I don't know. I don't think it's all going to go quite what they think quite yet. You know, but anyway, I don't know what it has to do with you, because I don't know what kind of thing you're going on, but thank you, Jesus, for that, for the wisdom of that, for the transfer of that wealth, the transfer of the way you do things through her and through ESLB Auto Sales. Reveal it, make it known, God, and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And rebuilder. Oh, is that what it is? Oh, I didn't know that, because I'm a rebuilder. Oh, I did not even know what you did. Wow, a rebuilder. You've never told me that. I did not know that. Interesting. Thank you for that. That's new information for me. Woo! Wow. Okay, so you repair insurance cars. Oh. Oh, interesting. Wow. Very cool. I never knew that. From salvage title to rebuilt title. Oh, wow. You know, I would love to do that. I think that would be fun. I think that's a very interesting, you know, finding the parts and getting, because like you use, or you have a place you order everything, but putting it all together, and, you know, it's just, fun. It's kind of like remodeling a house, I guess. I have rebuilt. I had a car once where the front end got messed up and messed up some fenders and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so sell a old car. Gotcha. Okay, so that's why I'm saying that. Okay, got it. Hey, that's pretty clear. I'm getting a clear vision of you tonight on that. Wonder. So it's a sell, so that, wow, okay. Interesting. Cool, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Gotcha. All right, let's go here. And then we have Tariq. $10, thank you, Lord, for Tariq, God. And you are giving us the worldwide word. Oh, I've given you worldwide word several times? Really? Oh, wow. Accurate words. Oh, thank you. Oh, that is awesome. Oh, I was not aware of, I mean, you know, I don't know. And you've given us the worldwide word several times, and we do export in Nigeria to Nigeria. Really? Oh my gosh! See, I didn't even know what you did. I don't know if you sold. I don't know. I never knew. Amazing. That is amazing. Wow. That's what that was about the world thing. That. Oh my gosh! Now I know. See. You've never given me that information. That is truly awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the Lord is so gracious. Wow. Awesome, man. I'm impressed. Now I'm impressed. Really, I don't know why. It is awesome. I just love the cars. I like that car thing too. I don't know. I'm really just okay. Pray for Tariq. Thank you, Lord, for Tariq, God. We thank you, Jesus, that all the provision that they need to, you know, pay for their schooling, pay for everything, that you make a way for all that for the future, for insurance purposes, all insurance purposes for you know, people, like people insurance or something, you know, that round, that whole round of insurance, and, you know, and being able to get what do you call it, grants and that kind of thing from God. I don't know how God's going to give grants, some kind of given grant. Open up that whole thing, Father, in Jesus' name, where it's freely given of God, that you grant them blessing and Torah, God, the $10. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless them, Jesus. Or show them your favor, God, that you have provided a way for them, and they will not have to worry about things as other children would have. Because the mama is believing you, God, for granting life, granting financial, crowning them with financial prosperity, granting them financial blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, let it be done in Jesus' name. Chris, $15, thank you, Lord, for Chris, God. Thank you for his ability to serve and make sure things get done right and things be going the right direction at the right time, the right place. In Jesus' name, things being done in order, all that with him and Enrique, and $15 for Enrique in Jesus' name. How the order realm, the whole realm, things being done in order, and the people that they do business with, things of order, that everything be done in order in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and upright, and with favor. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Awesome. God is so good. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Thank you for letting me know about all that. That is so cool. Wow, now I know. Cool. All right, I am highly impressed. I am. I really am. It's really awesome. Woo! Cool. All right. So now I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank God I checked and I found Enrique's sleepy gift of sleep. the gift of sleep. All right. Okay. Y'all have been great tonight. Thank you for everything. What a blast. Always a blast. I love Prayer and Over Offerings. Something special about Prayer and Over Offerings. I don't know what it is. Not because it's money. You know, it's like money's coming in. Pray hard. Pray harder. It's just something activates. It's just really cool. You know, doesn't matter whether it's a dollar or $1 million, you know, it's praying over money, over offerings. It's just really something special about it. I heard people say that years ago, but I thought they were just trying to get people to give. It really is true. I have to say, it really is true. There's a real anointing on it, and it's amazing. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's been really great. Good talking to everybody. Love it. Love all of it. Love finding out stuff from the Lord, what the Lord's saying, what the Lord's doing. It's really cool. So thank you for enduring with us and being patient with us and being nice. You're such nice people, and we love it, and we thank you for it. Okay, hang on a second. Oh, you donated. Oh, you gave. Oh, it didn't come in yet. I wonder why. Because you did it through the giving fund. The giving fund is different than. Awesome, Jeff. I didn't know you did that. Okay. Yeah, the giving fund shows up. It doesn't show up on right away. For some reason, I think it's a whole different thing. The giving fund, the money comes in like, you know, a week later, something like that. I don't remember exactly, but awesome. We get it in from Google directly. Oh, we get it from Google directly. Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with that, I don't think. Okay. Interesting. I'm learning stuff tonight. Yeah. Give me just a moment here, please. I get that right. Cool, man. Awesome stuff. Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Uke. Hey, amen. Thank you for that. We get it from Google directly, the link. And that way there's no charge, right? Is that kind of what you're trying to say? We give funds to the needy, and also we have a live call in Switchboard for All. Huh? 501c3 number, 7520. That's Randy Sharon Ministries. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's my EIN number. I'm going, where'd that come from? It's on Google, yeah. I mean, it's on PayPal. We're set up as a Randy Sharon Ministries, Inc. Human Services, Garland, Texas, EIN. You got it, man. Yeah, to show you that we're real. Awesome, dude. I don't think anybody's ever shared that with me. I'm learning all kinds of stuff tonight. Click on it. It will prompt you to the PayPal. Oh, okay. And that way there's no fees charged, right? Is it kind of one of the reasons you're doing it like that? There's no fees charged. They did change their fee thing. But they charge fees now than they didn't used to. It's not much, but a little bit. Okay, hang on just a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. All right, so $44. Thank you. Interesting. I will pass that around. It doesn't show up automatically, though. We've had this before, as far as the, it's Yeah, it's a giving fund thing. Like, it still hasn't showed up yet because it shows up in a different way, you know, like a couple of days later or something. Cool, man. I like it all. I like it. It's all good. All right, thank you both for that $44 in Jesus' name, and thanks for that link. So thanks for reminding me about that. Thank you, Lord, for that 44. And I also got a word this morning. I didn't know if it was for you. I told you I'd speak, give you the word if I got one about whatever you're going through. And I didn't think it really had anything to do with you. That's why I didn't contact you. Let me go back and see if I can find this. Let's see. Just mute. Oh, you, okay. Okay. Trying to find that word. With one of those words, I'll get it in the middle of the night, kind of a thing. Maybe it's not it. Maybe it's here. I know I wrote it down somewhere. If I can find it. Yeah, walk in the water. Yeah, it had to do with a word I didn't. I wasn't sure what it meant even. With like voting or something. I don't know. I'm trying to find it. Picture of the. I took a picture of it so I wouldn't lose it. Let me go back here to my pictures and look for it. I wasn't sure it had anything to do with you guys. It's called gerrymander. Gerrymander. It's the word I woke up with. Who would ever get a word gerrymandering? It was actually gerrymandering. To manipulate the boundaries of an electoral constituency so as to favor one party or class. That's why I thought it was, I didn't think it was y'all. I thought it was more like a word for the voting stuff, maybe. I don't know. I mean, boundaries of a electoral constituency so as to favor one party or class. I thought it was kind of an answer for the voting thing, maybe. I'm not sure. I didn't know. I didn't even know what it meant. You know, I got it in the middle of the night, and I made sure spoken gerrymandering, you know, like that in the middle of the night. So I wouldn't forget it, and then I looked it up. And gerrymandering is the word, the way it worked, what it came to me. And I've heard that word before, but it says achieve a result by manipulating boundaries of an electoral constituency. Yeah, so I'm not even sure what it means. Total freedom of gerrymandering results they want. So that may be what's going on with some of the voting stuff. It may be a direct word. It was a direct word. It's one of those direct words from God time. So that may not have anything. The reason I didn't contact you guys is because I didn't think it had anything to do with you, because what do they have to do with manipulating, you know, maybe it's been done to you, maybe voting, you know, I don't know. I didn't make any sense with you guys, so I just kind of took it as God giving me an answer for some of the voting situation going on in the midterms, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so that's that. But I don't know how to apply that to y'all. But thank you, Jesus, for that. I know you're looking forward to your believing God for confirmation for a decision on some business things you got going on. And I thank you, Lord. If I don't get anything from God, I don't know anything. I'm just as dumb as whatever. I don't know nothing unless God shows me. He has to show me, or I don't know. You know, period. I don't even act like I know stuff, you know, because it's too much pressure. And I'd rather just not know. If he didn't show me, then I don't know. I only know when he showed me. So thank you, Jesus, for the frontier, for God. I thank you for like a pioneering thing. In Jesus' name, for pioneering, for frontiering. Thank you, Jesus, for the frontier you have them on, pioneering the things you have them pioneer. God, that you put a taste in their mouth to taste a certain thing, and they're only satisfied with one thing, and that's doing that. You know, pioneering, frontiering, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. That wherever the soles of their feet tread, that you give to them, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. that they will go at it with, you know, fervor and violence. The Bible says take it by force in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you're giving them a taste for that, God, to take back what belongs to God and give it to God. Take it for God and give it to God. Take it for God and give it to God. In other words, getting God back what belongs to him. Going back to the origin of things, to the seed of things, to the beginning of things, to the understanding of, you know, when we understand that, we're going to truly conquer and inherit the earth. Because the meek inherit the earth. And I thank you, Lord, for that meekness in them, God, in Jesus' name, for the inheritance of the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, for the meek shall inherit the inheritance in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not getting anything specific, so sorry about that, but I just get what I get. If I don't get it, I don't got it. So if I don't got it, I don't get it. Just like that. Almost exactly like that. It's been a great night. Thank you guys for everything. Okay. Awesome. Wow, man, I'm getting tired. All right, y'all, awesome. It's 12:30, so thank you for everything. Just like that. If you can walk on the water, just like that, yeah. Help them, Jesus. Walking on the water. Yeah, walking on the water. Yeah. You can do it, can't you see? Can you see? See the master on the sea. When you see him, you can walk on the sea. When you see him, you can walk on the sea. When you see what you see, and you ask him, do you want me to be water walking on the sea like you, walking on the sea, water. Water, water, water. I'm treading water, walking on the water. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Help them, Jesus. Show them, God. Move them. Give them that. Let them taste of the riches of Christ Jesus. Let them taste of the glory, God. Let them drink of the glory. Let them drink of the milk and the milk of the glory land, of the holy land. Let them drink of the honey, God, the richness. God, let them do. They got a taste for that in Jesus' name. Bless them with their Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. I wish I had more. Always wish I had more. I always want more. I'm greedy spiritually for other people, especially for all of us. But I mean, I want it all, man. I want it all. That ain't greedy. That's needy. That ain't greedy. That's needy. And when you're needy, you're not greedy. If you need him, you're not greedy. I'm greedy. I greet him. That's not working. Okay. All right. I'm going to go before I say anything stupid. Yes, I am. I'm going to go bye-bye before I say something, you know, I shouldn't be saying something silly. Silly than what I've already said. I like to have fun. Enjoy it. The more I enjoy it, the more I get. That's honest to God how it goes. So if y'all see me enjoying myself, go, hey, man, here it comes. Get ready for something good. Literally, that's what happens with me personally. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Good night. Bye.